Electronic music has come a long way since the late 90s and early 2000s, and I'm pumped to hear that AVEX is bringing back its Cybertrance album series. The combination of AVEX tracks, Toshiba EMI, and Konami's in-house tunes account for a huge amount of my teenage listening and enjoyment. My rose-colored glasses are on and vivid. The best part of everything being cyclical is when your favorites come back. This is my choice of hype for this week. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Me too, Jason, except my early 20s. Anyway, hi, everybody. Hello, everyone out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again here with episode number 868 of our show for this May the 9th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined via the magic of Discord during these quarantini times with the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
I wish someone would make me a quarantini. I could use a little bit of boost.
I was just realized I was trying to make up a word, and I don't think I did. I think I actually named a very popular beverage in these trying times, I'm sure.
Well, I think that a bunch of people tried to copyright it too, but I don't think that you can copyright the pain of others.
Probably not, although I'm sure someone would try, that's for sure.
You know someone's tried.
How did the stream go after last week's show? You were playing some Fantasian for the very first time after last week's OLR. How was all that?
I really like Fantasian. It's pretty good. I just think that I'm going to move that stream to Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Because it's not super exciting, you know, but it's a good story. I've really been enjoying it. And I think I'm going to just do a little bit of it like every Tuesday. I actually have my schedule posted on Twitch now. Whether or not I adhere to it is a completely different story.
That's why I don't post one, because I know I won't adhere to it. Well, you know, that's not true, because here at VOG Network, we've adhered to this Sunday night at 6 o'clock thing for, you know, coming up on 19 years. But it took a long time to really make that routine, you know,
A lot of people
always ask, well, what would you do on Sunday night if OLR ended? And I'm like, I literally do not know. Like, 19 years of my life, Sunday night is this, like, what am I supposed to say?
It's ending.
No, I'm just saying, people ask.
I mean, but I'm just saying, it'll end? What?
Well,
what words are you speaking? I don't know this reality.
All good things come to an end eventually. I don't mean tomorrow or next week, but, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Maybe if I get run over by a Mack truck.
Well, let's not say those things. but you know, yeah, something could happen. You never know. We had some scares in the past, and luckily we made it through unscathed, and here we are 19 years later.
I reckon.
And some of our listeners, hi listeners, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, and SSJ100 Matt. So our listeners get in on this too. SSJ100 Matt says, I don't remember my Sunday nights pre-OLR, kind of getting info watching Simpsons and scrambling to finish homework territory. Yeah, I'm trying to think what my I remember. My Sunday nights before OLR, I used to go to the goth club.
I did on occasion, too.
True story. Yep. We used to go together. We were friends before OLR. So, yeah, we used to go a lot. Yeah.
But we met through, I think I met Jessica before I met you.
Probably. I don't remember exactly.
Golfland.
Yeah. I was there that same day at Golfland, I think, when.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I thought that I had met you when we went to play Para Para.
Yes, it was that. Oh, you met probably Iguana Girl a week or two prior or something before that happened.
I think something like either that or I met you both at the same time. But I met you guys over the Bamanis.
Yeah, and that would have literally been over 20 years ago at this point,
which
is crazy to think about, isn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because I did a lot of guest hosting on Under Sedation not too long after that.
Yep, that was the show I was on concurrently with OLR in the beginning, but before OLR. It's fun times. Anyway, I would also say hello to Techmaster Loki. I'm not sure if he's actually there. He's blacked out.
I'm here.
Hi.
I'm just eating, so I figured we don't want to see that.
Yeah, probably not. That's okay. Well, how are you, Loki? I've been trying to stretch for time because I thought you were away from keyboard. My bad. That's all right.
No. I'm here. I can turn the camera on anytime. Had to rush and do a bunch of things at the last minute. I had like 2 minutes to eat food and get the setup. And then, of course, OBS and Discord and my cam software decided to feud it out. So that delayed my time that I had to eat.
Yeah, been there, done that. I've been there, done that, scarfing down food before doing a live stream at one point. So I'll go. Well, of course, everybody wants to know what you eating.
The bacon ultimate cheeseburger, of course.
Yes,
because I haven't had one of those in like a few weeks. So right. I figured why not?
Good job.
About 15 minutes ago, I was eating freshly smoked tri-tip.
I don't get dinner till after OLR. I eat late on Sunday nights. So
See Chad saying you figured it was bacon. You'd be surprised. I don't eat that much bacon, really. Given the opportunity, yes, I will add bacon to things. But I don't actually eat bacon that often anymore.
So this is a bacon story, I promise. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to see Grandpa Warcraft. For those of you that remember my old show, Horde House, or if you ever listened to the Starboard Power Coupling, which was here on Vogue, you remember Grandpa Matt from both of those shows. And I got to see him yesterday, which was great because I really haven't seen a lot of people during all this quarantine stuff. But now that I'm fully vaccinated, he's fully vaccinated, we were able to hang out yesterday. And by the way, so he has a new cabin in the woods that he's at. And by the way, the cabin in the woods has a hot tub and Wi-Fi. So if we do want to do a Vogue hot tub stream, we can probably do one. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Miss Matt.
He's great. He's still doing well.
I was thinking about him this morning going to cut roses.
Yeah. Love that bitch.
Those who don't know, I live in his old house.
Yeah. So it was great to see him and everything. But we went to some nice little restaurant up in, for those of you locals, Nevada City, which is the cute little town up in the, you know, up in the hills, right? And they've shot Hallmark movies up there. It's so cute. We went to one of the little bougie restaurants. So I promised I'd get to bacon. Alan, who is, he's lost a lot of weight during this quarantine stuff. Many of us have gained. Alan has lost, and he eats very well. And he ordered as an appetizer some Brussels sprouts. Now, here's the thing. I fucking hate Brussels sprouts, but I ate these.
Why do you hate Brussels sprouts? They're delicious.
Because they're fucking disgusting. Except,
haven't had them cooked right.
Can I finish my goddamn story?
No.
So,
yes.
No, you may not.
The way
if
this
bacon's on them, then yes.
Yes. So I actually ate the Brussels sprouts here because they roasted them, which is like the only way I'll eat them is like doing the roasting thing. And then of course they put like bacon in mixed in with it, and it was chef's kiss, amazing. So how will you get Rob to eat Brussels sprouts? Roasted with bacon. That's the only way to do it.
I'm eating Brussels sprouts with a full pack of bacon in them, and heavy cream and cheese. And onions and garlic.
But then,
and
I don't think it's really healthy anymore. Like,
no, it's totally keto. I mean, it's totally like no carbs. It's just, it's all of the calories and meat and fat, but it's, oh my God, it's so good.
Tiger Claw's asking a very valid question. Is the internet good at the cabin? To which I found out, yes, he gets gigabit up there. Which, like, I don't know who...
What? Why does a cabin in the woods get better internet than I do?
I don't know. I was surprised at that, too. I guess you probably have a lot of people running businesses out of their homes. I have no, that's blew my mind too. It really did. So, all right. Well, anyway,
I actually have access to a hot tub in my neighborhood since my friend who is on Twitch as Amethyst Rose Witch has a lovely large one at her house and has given me free rein to come over.
So that may be a bonus stream in the future is the OLR hot tub stream, but Don't get it twisted. Like we're there to literally sit in the hot tub, and I'm keeping my shirt on because A, you don't need to see that on Twitch. B, I sunburn really easily. So like I used to be before it all went gray. I used to have red hair, so we burn really easily. So yeah, but we will do a hot tub stream if I can convince my co-hosts.
After I lost like some of the first bit of my weight, I bought myself a really cute bathing suit that has like a cat face on it.
Uh-huh.
And then now it's too big for me. Plus, there will be adventures in hair dye in the next couple of months that involves the color blue.
Fun.
And so I need to actually get a swim cap.
Oh my god.
To be able to go in chlorinated water.
Me in a shirt, you in a swim cap. I think Loki should have the sunbathing, like sunscreen paint, like, or just do the Zuckerberg thing.
The zinc oxide.
Yes. All right. Anyway, so we're going to I've already volunteered everybody. We're going to have a hot tub stream in the not too distant future. We'll figure it out. Jeez. All right. Anyway. All right, let's get into it. But we're not here to talk about hot tubs. We're here to talk about video games. And wow, our industry had a lot of fascinating video game news this week. I think everybody knows about the court battle that's going on right now between Epic Games and Apple. We've talked about that at length on the show. The reality is we're not going to have a resolution to that whole thing for months because, you know, legal stuff takes time. Even though the trial, yes, is only a few weeks, the judge will still take months and months to come up with her decision. So we don't know what's really going to happen there until later. But the fascinating part is that it's not even just really Epic and Apple, but all of these other companies are having secrets that are kind of put out there in open court. Yes, there are some things that are redacted. We haven't seen necessarily everything, but we're certainly seeing a lot more and getting a real peek into the inside of this industry, into how CEOs write their emails. We're getting insight into the types of things that are discussed, the goals, that the long-term goals that these companies have, who's making money, who's not making money. We're getting a lot of insight that I didn't think many of us thought we'd really get from a court battle like this. This probably also helps us explain why so many times companies settle out of court. They don't want to go to this point because of all the testimony, the evidence that gets entered and all that stuff. So anyway, let's talk about some of the evidence that's been entered and some of the things we have learned as a result of that. Dark Soccer, I think we'll start with you. There's several items to talk about, and Dark Soccer, I think we'll start with you. You had one.
Yeah, so I'll just go ahead and start off with this, that Epic had offered $200 million deal to Sony for, and the quote is, up to 4 to 6 PlayStation ports to PC. They were wanting to target several different video game producers, you know, big AAA names, to try to bring their games over through their store. And it's actually stated in their document that Nintendo was pretty much, quote, a non-starter, end quote. But their discussions with Microsoft were pretty much complicated because it was competitor for content. Mm-hmm. You know, for their PC Game Pass thing was against Epic strategy. So, and on top of that, Sony had already stated that it was looking to bring a whole bunch of games to PC. So they, and I mean, their first PC port for Horizon Zero Dawn was on Steam.
And that's then, what I was thinking, is that we've seen all these PC releases from Sony. So it's interesting to think that Epic was really making a play for those.
Yeah. Well, and that, and Days Gone is also coming to Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really looking like Steam is going to be their primary platform. And from what I understand, it actually is easier to manage their own DLC through Steam. So that would make sense.
And even Microsoft, even though there's that competitive space with Game Pass, and I would think also the Windows Store is also inherently competition, but yet we've seen Microsoft actually kind of making moves with Steam as well. They've kind of relented on the fact that Steam has such a hold on the PC marketplace that it actually benefits Microsoft to put things like, I'm trying to think what the most recent thing was that they put on there, maybe Halo Master Chief Collection or things like that, they've actually been putting on Steam. Which is fascinating. Sorry, but I thought, well, interesting.
On top of that, too, there's another document released during everything that Epic spent something like $12 million to secure games for its free giveaways.
Yeah.
And it's just, I have this feeling that they're trying to keep some sort of tight rein on the content that they're able to bring in. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And again,
tighter, though, than some of the other services.
Our chat room is lighting up with comments relating to some of this. Phoenix7726 wants to point out that Horizon did go on Good Old Games as well, so it wasn't like exclusive to Steam. I thought at first it was only on Steam, though, but I could be wrong. You may be right that
it
went.
I thought
maybe after a little bit of time it went to both. But anyway, I could be wrong.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily matter. It's not on Epic.
True.
That's the point, is it went somewhere other than Epic.
True. Fair enough. Questbuster in chat says, I'm not sure that every indie was happy to see what they were being paid by Epic to be on their store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found that fascinating, too. So it's out there.
I'll take half the price. Half the price of what of the lowest tier one that they have, except for the zero one. I'm not taking zero, but I'll put Pixel Poops number two on there. I'll take a quarter of that. You know, you just pay me $12,000, and you could give that game away for free. I'm cool.
You out there? You out there, Tim Sweeney? You part of the OL Army? Listening to this show? Probably not. After
some of these, probably like, even sweeten the deal even more and undercut me even more on that. Still say yes.
I love that. Tweet at him. Get his attention. But yeah, it's. But the comment is still true. What our listener said. It's probably really alarming for some of the indies to see, like, those that made more, those that didn't make much, because some of those games, like, I think the Batman trilogy, like, I could be wrong. I don't have the chart in front of me, but I remember that one was like $1 million or something. It was a lot of money.
Batman Arkham was like 15. It was 1.5 million.
Whew. That was a lot of money, you know, especially for a game that wasn't particularly new. It was a few years old, and most of the games they give away are old, but not all of them are. Some of them are new, and so they paid a lot less for that. Now, granted, it takes a much larger team to build a Batman Arkham Asylum than it does to build, you know, some of the indie titles, but still, to kind of see that in the numbers and really see the differences in the numbers was really shocking. I definitely, like, if you haven't seen that document, look it up. Like, obviously it would be very boring for me to sit here and read the Excel spreadsheet aloud. You all follow the industry. I'm sure you're going to Google it and look that up if you haven't already, because it was all over Twitter and social media. But I thought that was fascinating. And that's exactly the type of document I didn't think we were going to get out of this trial, and that probably everybody would have liked to avoid. It was interesting. So anyway, that Darkstalker, thank you for that. Loki, you've been following some of the secrets unlocked as well, right?
Yeah. So, you know, apparently during the court case, Apple was trying to get Epic to admit that there's like some questionable content on their storefront, only because they have the itch.io app, and we know what kind of junk's on there. My game. So and porn. There's porn on there too. But you know, because I guess, since that's accessible on their storefront, they're kind of trying to say that it's part of it, but
very,
I don't know.
Very clever play when you consider that itch.io was just added to Epic like a week before the trial started.
Exactly.
And they even kind of got called out on that, is that, well, you just put itch.io on the store, right, conveniently before a trial. And then that turned into this whole, so Epic is fine with porn being on its marketplace. I this is a very interesting tactic. Very, very interesting. Anyway, I was fascinated by that. But go ahead.
Yeah. And then also, I thought it was interesting that they've made $9 billion on Fortnite between 2018 and 2019. So that's only a few. I mean, that's ridiculous, just $9 billion in like a couple years, and I'm assuming that it's just grown since then. So I guess that's why they want to get it on the Apple store, to make even more billions.
They got to start getting in the positive dollars fast, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Were you surprised to hear that the Epic store is losing money?
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's not that old, and, you know, it takes a while for businesses to, you know, turn a profit, and especially if they're even giving away the free stuff, if that, you know, necessarily brings people to the Epic store to maybe try Fortnite or something like that, I'm sure they more than make up for it with, you know, the profits that they're making from that. So it's more of like a loss leader, I guess.
Yeah, it's the digital version of what Black Friday is all about to retailers. You sell that cheap-ass $200 TV or whatever it is to get people in the door to then look at the other things that are in there that maybe aren't as good on a sale. And this was something that Fry's Electronics was notorious for, rest in peace, right? If you've ever been to a Fry's Electronics, and I'm sure there's other stores like this, but Fry's especially. So you walk into Fry's, you buy something like one of these loss leaders, even though there's maybe 5 or 10 of them available on Black Friday. But then what happens? You go to stand in line and wait for a checkout. How long is that little tunnel? Not literally a tunnel, but you are surrounded on the left and right. How long is that little tunnel to wait to check out?
It is literally like a queue to a line at Disneyland. It is extremely long and wrapping around. Black Friday, you have to find the end of the line with a dude that has a giant like a bouquet of balloons, you know, saying the line ends here, and it just winds through the entire store.
You're literally forced through an aisle that is shit you don't need, but you want
exactly.
it anyway.
Like, it's like, I don't need this cotton candy machine. I don't need this hot dog warmer that they have for convenience stores, but they have it in the store, and I'm kind of considering it, walking past it, but, you know, I don't really need that. Oh, hey, look at all of these cool USB things. I could use some more USB cables. And
exactly.
Ooh, candy. Ooh, and some balls, you know, ball strain. Let's get some of that. I mean, there's lots of stuff.
Anyway, that's it. And I love Fry's. And I think, honestly, none of us really complained about what they were doing. But it is very obvious what they are doing. Maybe if I had kids, I'd complain because there's a lot of fucking candy in that aisle. But anyway, I digress.
Oh, it was fine even with kids. It was a great store just to walk around and like check out all the weird stuff. And especially like, you know, going in there, they had all these like bargain bins that just like when you walked in, it was just all over the place. All these things that they were like as seen on TV or just it's like, ooh, I'll look at all this like canned air. Ooh, look at all these batteries. I could buy like a 50 pack of batteries and it's so cheap. It's like
but that's exactly it. So what we're looking at with Epic Games and that's what it's the digital version of that. You put a loss leader like a free game to get that thing installed on somebody's computer, the Epic Games launcher, and then oh look at all these game sales that are going on or exclusives. Y'all want some Borderlands 3? Okay, you know all this stuff in the store, and to obviously to some extent it has worked. Some interesting comments in chat. DJ Rama S says, you see what they did with Discord. Oh, I always said that was this still blows my mind to this day how this didn't work. That Discord put this free chat app on everybody's computer. They were like basically like, oh, Slack? Oh, we're going to make a free version of that. Oh, TeamSpeak? What the hell was it? Ventrilo? We're going to make a free version of that. And you'll never and you put this thing on the computers free. And then they put a game store in it. And I thought that was the smartest thing I think I'd ever seen a company do. Yet it flopped. And they no longer sell games.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable to me. But I think I don't think they swung hard enough with that. And I know that's weird to say because I think if they'd swung harder, it might have annoyed some of us. But I think that's where they maybe made the mistake. But anyway, I just think that's very interesting. Let's see. Questbuster says it's all about getting the bodies or Epic's case, the fresh user accounts into their store. And so on and so on. So anyway, Loki, a few more tidbits that came out of the courtroom.
Yeah, so let's see what else do we have here. Well, we talked about the exclusives and how much, you know, money they had there for that. So it was like $1 billion, which is ridiculous. And I don't know, that's all it pretty much had. There's a lot of drama going on that I'm not really paying attention to right now. Honestly, I don't really care how it ends up. I mean, I get what they're trying to do, but like it's not really beneficial to me.
Whatever whatever your YouTubers, your Twitter followers, your podcasts, whatever they're saying about this case, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Like I hate to say, it's just a reality. It doesn't matter. It's gonna be up to this judge. And whatever happens will be a very interesting thing. But we'll find out in a few months what happens with that. So there you go. All right. Before we get to our gaming weeks, let me get to another couple comments here. Phoenix7726 says, I kind of wonder how Disco makes money at this point. Discord, not Star Trek Discovery in this case, I think. Those Nitro subs can't be that much. They don't advertise, and servers cost money to maintain. I think they're making more in Nitro subs than you might give them credit for. I actually have the Nitro sub because I wanted to boost. It only takes one person's boost to like boost the server a little bit to get better voice quality. And I feel like I use it so much. Maybe I ought to kick them a little bit of money. But I think it did come out not that long ago. That is where Discord's making a chunk of its money. But you're not wrong in thinking they're probably not making enough money. So it'll be interesting. And we have a pair of stories coming up later that might give some insight into how are they going to make more money later on. We'll get into that a little later. So DJ Rama S in chat says, plus investments from venture capitalists. Yes, investments in the future is a big one. And again, we have more coming up on that later. So we'll get to that later. But first, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week and our impressions thereof. So Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? What have you been playing?
I played a few more things than just Animal Crossing. I've been playing, of course, Dead by Daylight, and I've been streaming. I actually had a fun, if me terrible, gameplay moment of going into Puddin's channel and doing a custom game where it was a race to see if we could pop the hatch, close the hatch, which starts the end game countdown, see if I could hook him before the timer went out, which, of course, I failed. I'm not very good. That was pretty fun, though. I think I'm going to do stuff like that in the future.
Yeah, that's fun.
And then I also started Fantasian after last night's episode, and I really like that game. It really just smacks of old school SNES Final Fantasy stuff, and it's the music is great. I love that the backgrounds and objects are hand-built diorama pieces. And you can really, even on the rendered stuff, you can see the texture built into those other items. And I love the story so far, too. Although I did think that the main character was a robot at first. and I had a very sad moment right at the beginning. But I'm not going to spoil. It's a fairly new game. But I'll be playing it on Tuesdays. I'll have some information posted somewhere. I forgot what my schedule is already.
After OLR tonight is one of them.
But after OLR tonight, I am debuting it's still me sucking at Dead by Daylight, but it has a fancy title now. It's Monday Midnight Massacre.
Okay.
Because on the East Coast, it'll be Monday by the time we're pretty much done.
Okay.
I've even made new music for it. And some kind soul uploaded every sound effect from one of the earlier builds of Dead by Daylight, so I was able to incorporate some of it in my music. But I did everything else myself. I did the melody, I did the and it's an homage, since I'm going to be playing Dead by Daylight, it's an homage to the theme of the game.
Quite the musician lately. Been doing great.
I'm trying. Yeah. I mean, I've really enjoyed, I think that my streaming has pretty much motivated me to get a lot better in Logic Pro, which is what I use to make my music. And for those on stream who are watching with us live, I have myself a nice new MIDI keyboard.
Nice.
And it's an Akai Mini, the MPK Mini, if anyone wants to know. But I've had just a really great time. I feel like I've found some inspiration.
Love it. Looking in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Phoenix7726 is asking, have any of the hosts played the new Resident Evil? I'm assuming Loki hasn't, so I think it's a no from all of us. But I did, I know it's not the same as playing it, but I did watch some Twitch streams of it for quite a bit of time. Like, I actually watched like at least an hour, if not a little more. And I even watched a YouTube as well to kind of get a sense of it. I think it might be a little too intense for me just on the scare front and all that stuff. Like, I just kind of know what I can handle and what might be a bit much. And some of those scenes I watched, although I think that the characters are really well done. And, you know, knowing that, you know, tying it back to Dead by Daylight, we know that Resident Evil is going to be the next chapter and that there is going to be a new killer from the Resident Evil series. I really don't mind if it's a killer from Resident Evil 8. I know there are people out there that really want to have Wesker or you know Mr. X or something. There's a big rumor out there that it is the witch trio from Resident Evil 8 is the killer because there's some hints in the video. And the 5 for the 5th anniversary looks like one of the hand size that the witch daughters use. And I would be totally okay with that. I think that would be a really cool killer. I think Lady Dimitrescu...
I still wish we had a Code Veronica theme.
As much as I know some people would just hate it, I would love Lady Dimitrescu as a killer. I just think like the idea of like a vampire, because we don't have a vampire in Dead by Daylight yet. So it seems very, very fit. So, I mean, and we'll see. We'll see. And obviously she is an iconic character. But we'll see. Obviously, Resident Evil also has other icons. You know, when you get to Survivor, it gets a lot harder to choose. And I wonder if it won't do the Stranger Things thing and actually give us 2 survivors. I wonder if we won't have Chris and Jill or something. But we'll. It's a matter of time. We find out in a couple weeks, right? I think there are 5th anniversary streams in a couple weeks. So
yeah.
All right. Phoenix 7726 says, I bet a shitload of people want Lady D. And then DJ Rama S says, just to be stepped on. Yes, I think there are quite a few people that like to see it. Whatever the reason is, you know what? If we're going to meme, let's fucking meme. Okay? Like, put her in Dead by Daylight and then let the user content flow. But we'll see what happens. We'll see. All right. Moving on with our gaming weeks. Loki.
All right. So this week, it's been all Minecraft for the most part. Been still playing on the server stuff, building more farms, staying up late doing that kind of thing, and then preparing to build my shop in the shopping district. So lots of preparation, like on my creative world. That's kind of a copy of the seed that they have. So I've been designing it there so I can build it in the actual game. So once that's done, I think that'll be kind of, I don't know if that's going to be part of episode 2 or episode 3. I haven't decided yet to go through all the footage I have right now and see what I've got, if it's enough content to do that. I would like to have that as a kind of build montage in there, but that may be for another episode or something. So we'll see. But yeah, I just have to work more on the video editing stuff. I know it's like, I've got a nagging feeling, you know, it's not outside of my mind anytime I'm playing, like, I gotta edit this video. So hopefully that'll be coming soon. I'm hoping sometime maybe next week. And then aside from that, Orna, just been playing more of that. You know, taking over territories when I go places. That kind of thing.
Nice. My gaming week, I also have been back in Orna a little bit. I caught some areas out in the wilderness that nobody had on my way up to Matt's place. So that was fun. And continuing with the GPS games, playing Pokemon Go. I'm still not done with Meryl Day. And I've already up to 5 shinies, which is pretty good, and a couple good ones, too. So I wish Meryl was a little bit of a better Pokemon in the metagame. But maybe you guys know something I don't. Maybe Meryl's okay in the Great League or something. I don't know. been working on that a little bit. of course, I've been playing Dead by Daylight. That's kind of my new... Like, I haven't... This is the first week where I can say I haven't played Final Fantasy XIV because all my friends left. Shane's super into Monster Hunter with Dominic, who we also play Final Fantasy XIV with. I think Ray, who we also play that game with, went on a trip. However, the Final Fantasy XIV gang will reunite on Friday because FanFest is virtual FanFest is Friday. And yes, we already know about the expansion, but we're going to get the rest of the details on the expansion on Friday. What is the other class that is going to be in the game? What are some of the other features? So basically, we get all the details of the expansion will be out on Friday. If they allow us to co-stream, we may do another thing on VOG. So you'll have to stay tuned to Twitter. We don't know if it's allowable or not. They kind of announced it at the last minute last time, and they'll probably do it this time. But if it is allowed to co-stream, we will probably do that at VOG on Friday night. So keep an eye out for it. To which Bobby Blackwell says, Final Fantasy 14, dead game. No, it's just one of those, you know, we've kind of burned out this content. We're ready for new stuff. Everybody will be back once the new patch is out. And Phoenix 7726 says, I've heard that Final Fantasy 14 is doing better than WoW these days. I really get the sense that is the case, too. And I don't want to pit the games against each other because both have very strong, very loyal fan bases. But I think this is just one of those things where WoW has been getting outplayed a little bit because they've been very comfortable being the leading MMO for a long time. I don't think they're used to another company pushing out the content as regularly. And that's one thing that 14's done very well. They're pushing out content regularly. And that's something Blizzard's kind of slipped on, and I think it's noticeable. However, of course, we have WoW Classic. There's a lot going on. We'll talk about that later in the show and stuff. And I don't mean to totally, like, I'm not trying to, like, shit on WoW or anything. That's not what I'm trying to do. They're both good games in their own regards. But I just think that Blizzard, you know, is getting challenged a little bit on the make more content front. The reason why I was saying all this, I haven't been playing 14. I've been playing a little more Dead by Daylight to fill in the time. Believe it or not, I'm enjoying playing Survivor a lot more than I used to. So I do go back and forth between Survivor and Killer. I got my favorite Survivor and Jamie's least favorite. No, I don't think it's your least favorite, but you love to make fun of Dweet. I love Dwight.
Well, no, Dweet's kind of generic. The character I hate is Bill.
Oh, I don't care for Bill either. You know, I think as much as everybody loves Ash from Evil Dead, I think he's extraordinarily out
of
place.
Ash is terrible.
I think he's extraordinarily out of place in Dead by Daylight. I got to be honest.
I was just watching people play him and his perks, and he is really difficult to be a good survivor on, especially as a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's novel is what he is. He's novel. Mm-hmm. If there were any Deadites in the game, then yeah, it'd have more of a reason to be there.
I think I'm working on the base survivors just to get their perks. I'm level 39 on Dwight, so I get his last perk in one more level, and then I'll probably move on to Meg. I'll probably just go right across top row, go to Meg, then go to Claudette, then maybe go to Jake. I don't know if Jake has anything I really want, though. I may go into Fangman at that point.
I'm actually going to start with Claudette.
I started with Claudette, too, so I could get self-care, but then I realized that self-care is kind of overrated. Because you're going to be flowing in medical kits. So if you want to heal yourself, just bring a med kit.
Either that or I'm going to do the Meglet.
Yeah, Meg's a lot of fun too. So anyway, I've been doing that and playing Survivor and Killer. I will say too, I cameoed on Alan's stream on Wednesday. So he does his Taylor Swift with friends. That's what they call surviving with friends, SWF, Swift. So he did his Taylor Swift with friends on Wednesday, and I played for like 2 hours with him, and I wasn't a total flop. Like, there was a couple matches where he died and I didn't, and that felt really good. So it was good. So yeah, I've been playing lots of Dead by Daylight. Okay. Have I been playing anything new, though? Yes, I have. Something, it's new to me, though. It's not a new game, but it is new on Xbox because it just came out this week on Xbox, and it came out on Xbox Game Pass as a result of that. So I have been spending quite a bit of time with Dragon Quest Builders 2. So it's funny that Loki brought up Minecraft because there's a lot of parallels. Obviously, like, you know, there's a lot of the Minecraft formula that you have in Dragon Quest Builders. And I played quite a bit of the first game, and I liked it a bit. I didn't love it. But I'm really enjoying my experience with Dragon Quest Builders 2. The nice thing is, like most Dragon Quest games, doesn't matter if you never played the first one. Dragon Quest Builders 2 will help you out with the system and all that stuff. And, you know, it starts you from scratch and the stories don't really relate or anything. So I think they actually might, but it's okay if you don't know. Like, I'm not lost or anything in the story. I think generally you're just kind of in that... good guy defeated bad guy a long time ago. There, you're all caught up. Like, it's like that's all you need to know of the first game. And I'm liking the fact that these worlds you go to are really big and there's a lot to do, and there's a lot more like creative share stuff in there. I'm surprised some of the stuff that gets on Square Enix's online platform in that game, but all right. But yeah, I'm enjoying the game. It's a very nice just kind of plop down and play for almost hours, because you start to lose sense of time, and I'm still in the first not the shore you wash up on, but the first world after that, the farming world. I'm still in that farming world, and I've sunk quite a bit of time into the game. So it's been enjoyable. I like Dragon Quest Builders too. You know, ask me again later. Ask me if I finish it. Do I like it enough to finish it? We'll see. I'll check that out in a couple of weeks. Anyway, I know a lot of people were recommending that to me in Discord, so good call on that, because you're right. I enjoy the game. So, Dragon Quest Builders 2. All right. That's it for our gaming weeks, so I think we will get into some other news. So, let's start with Loki.
Yeah, so this was a pleasant surprise. We got a trailer from Nintendo for a brand new game called Game Builder Garage, and what Game Builder Garage appears to be is... A lot of folks may not remember Labo. So Labo, you have the games that were kind of included with
it. Hold on. Quarantine hasn't been that long. Like, Labo was like a toy.
Okay, so what I mean by Labo is, you may not know, in Labo, you can create your own things.
Okay.
So there's actually like programming and stuff you can do within Labo that's kind of similar to this. It's block-based. And you kind of, you know, drag stuff together to basically create code. And one key, you know, hint that this is based on that is, I believe, if I remember correctly, that robot that's in the trailer is actually in Labo, if I remember correctly. But yeah, so basically it's kind of what they're doing is they're taking like the programming that they had with Labo and basically bringing it to a broader market to allow people to code and make their own games within it. So that's pretty awesome that they do that. And they kind of walk you through on how to do stuff. I think it's a great thing to get more people into coding, even like the block-based stuff. I mean, Scratch, that's how a lot of people get started. So it looks pretty cool. It's supposed to be coming out, I think, looks like in June. Yeah, June 11th for $30.
What a pleasant surprise from Nintendo. Very interesting. I don't think anyone saw this coming. You know, we haven't had any leaks or anything. And also they're doing, you know, this is again, and this is not the first time, because they did this not that long ago with another game. And I can't remember what it was in the moment, but, somebody in chat will correct me. They're really only giving a 5 or 6 week lead time on this. You know, it's kind of like, hey,
you're thinking, was it Paper Mario? Paper Mario.
Yes.
Yes. Very much with that. And the other cool thing about this, too, is because you're designing your own graphics and stuff like that, they also have USB mouse support for it as well. So you can actually plug it into the dock if you have that set up to actually draw and stuff in there. So that's pretty cool.
It sounds like this might be a very rich kind of system. It's looking like it. It's interesting because this is a successor of sorts to like Labo, like you say. I see the Mario Maker interest in this as well. Like, this is a very interesting path for Nintendo to be taking, but I think this is great. You know, it's their own kind of like Dreams sort of thing, and they seem to be They seem to be pushing it more than Sony pushed Dreams. I was talking about this at the end of Bobby's show. Is that It seems like a really crucial error that Sony did not push Dreams harder. I'm really shocked at that.
They really didn't, and it's such a good like piece of software, but it's just like nobody knows about it, and like you can do like so much stuff with it. It's just they didn't advertise it at all.
I hope they do a mulligan and we'll try to make a PS5 version that's a little, you know, bigger, better, stronger, and that it actually gets the promotion it deserves. Because I don't understand that at all. Why Sony? Yeah. Didn't push that the way they pushed Little Big Planet.
Well, they did sort of. I mean, they did cover it like it was in like several of their E3 events, but it was always like some weird like artsy thing that they did with it where like they're controlling puppets or they're like playing music or something like that. It doesn't really showcase.
Let me make it very plain. They didn't showcase Dreams the way Nintendo is showcasing this.
No, it is
very clear what this is all about from the way Nintendo showcased it. But Nintendo, in many ways, is also a master of messaging. And that's not a knock on Sony. Sony's, hell, we all remember that E3 press conference when they showed those videos that just dunked on Xbox and threw them out in the dumpster. Like, it was shocking. So we can't say that Sony's great at messaging when they want to do it. Nintendo's, you know, really, really, really good at it. And Microsoft's, you know, as much as, you know, that event was 10 years ago, and a lot's changed with Microsoft. And Microsoft's great at messaging in their own way as well. But my real point is that, you know, Sony A should have pushed Dreams more. And I think with this and Nintendo, we get the short time frame, but I think there's going to be a big audience for this. It's kind of like one of those like game I didn't know I needed until you showed it to me. Even I'm interested in it, and I don't necessarily sit there and make a lot of games, but I kind of want to play other people's games. And that's the other thing that's interesting about Nintendo is that, you know, we're seeing all these comments in chat. SSJ100 Matt saying, I'm waiting for someone to make a recreation of Mother 3 in this. And just as the person goes to share it, the game deletes it. DJ Rama S says, finally, OLR the RPG. Bobby Blackwolf says, everyone's like, don't like your minimum wage job? Learn to code, LOL. So now they can learn to code. And then they're like, we're short staffed. Nobody wants to work for us. Well, that's a whole other Oprah, as they say. But great, great comics and dislikes.
Release your game, make no money off of it, and still have your job. There you go.
Well, yeah, the Nintendo thing. Well, I'm. It seems almost certain you're not going to make money off these games.
No, I mean, of course not.
And I think also one thing we kind of know about it is that you're going to be able to share your creations with friends, but it doesn't sound like they have a public posting forum like Mario Maker or something. We could be wrong. We don't have all the details yet.
I'm hoping that they have like sort of codes. Or, I mean, they love their codes, you know.
If they have some
sort of share thing, but like it would be nice if it was like Little Big Planet where I could search for something and find things. But I doubt it.
I doubt it too.
We're talking about.
But again, here's where I'll knock Nintendo. So they're a master of messaging, but yet again, they always flop online. So here comes Discord. Here comes Twitter. To save their butt in that regard, well, and maybe make the problem worse in this case, but everybody's going to share their codes on Discord. Everybody's going to share. We will have to make a room on the Vogue Network Discord. I'm happy to do it on the Vogue Network Discord over at voguenetwork.com/discord. Cheap plug, but join us. I'll have to make a room that's codes for the Game Center. What the hell is this thing called? Garage Center Games. God damn it. What's it
garage
called?
Garage Games. Game Builder Garage. Sorry.
God damn it. Something Garage, something Builder. Yeah, that.
It's avenue for people to draw phalluses flying through the air and share that.
Well, how long until
we'll do that?
How long until someone makes the penis
immediately
game and shares it?
I will see you in 4 weeks when we talk about the penis games and Nintendo having the crackdown on that. 4 weeks, you guys. That's about how much time we need. That'll be about the release date. And So see you in 4 weeks when we talk about how people abuse nice things and why we can't have them.
Dark Sakura, you've been quiet, but I know you like your creative outlets on Nintendo. Hello, Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. Any interest in this garage game builder game? Really?
Yeah.
With this,
I don't really enjoy Mario Maker either. So I mean, I don't want to make my own game. I just want to have a game that I can be creative within its universe.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, this isn't really my kind of thing. I like you know, playing Sims because it's in there with the set rules of that universe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my game to be work.
Okay.
I just don't want to think like that. If I'm gonna be creative in a more abstract sense, it's going to be doing something that I want to do for me. That's why I like to make music.
Should recreate pixel poops in there.
You should talk to Aaron about that. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, she doesn't want to make a game. She wants other people to make her ideas. Well, now that's a different topic.
No, that's completely different.
And
no.
I actually get your point, Jamie, because
I don't play a game to work.
I get the whole fact that like you can choose your tool to make art. You can paint with oil. You can paint with watercolor. You can paint with crayons, you know, whatever it is. And so you like to paint in an Animal Crossing universe where there are certain like boundaries and things like it, not just Animal Crossing, but this example, right? Where there's
do you want to know how long I sit looking at logic before I actually get started on something?
Oh, I'm sure a long time. I do the same
exactly
thing.
I don't want to do that with a video game.
Yeah.
If I go into The Sims, I know what's there in front of me. And so I have the tools to work with. You know, it's like if you are going to be constructing a house, you know what tools you're going to be working with. You've got those parameters. I don't want to sit and have to rack my brain. And on top of that, it doesn't interest me. It really doesn't. Yeah. I want to play a game. I don't want to make the game.
I also like I get it because like I will probably buy this game. But to play other people's games, probably not to make anything of substance of my own, because I'm just not sure. Maybe the creative spark will bite. You never know. Never say never. But yet I just talked about Dragon Quest Builders 2, And I'm having fun building little houses, building little structures, and doing things a little bit outside of the lines of what the game is telling me, and kind of like doing my own thing in that universe. I'm having a good time with it. So like, I actually relate to what you're saying, Jamie. I really do. But I will probably still buy the game to play other people's games. That's the difference. So,
yeah.
But it would be nice if Nintendo would just put out a player. Then, you know, best of both worlds, right? So, all right. Anyway, but that is a pleasant surprise out of Nintendo. And again, only like 5 weeks away. That's very surprising.
Yeah.
And that's also like June 11th. That's probably right smack dab in the center of when E3 quote stuff is going on.
Yeah, it would be.
So that's also an interesting timing for that. And I bet Nintendo is probably going to dedicate a few Treehouse hours to that game, even though it will be coming out at that time. They've done this before. There was another game that came out like the week of E3, and they were still showing it. And I don't remember in the moment, of
Arms.
Course. I think it, you're right. Game I think it was Arms. I think it was Arms. So anyway. Bobby Blackwolf says the 11th is a Friday. Isn't the E3 stuff the next week? I might be wrong, but I think the E3 stuff is the next week. Like, it's like the 13th, 14th, something like that. Of course, the 13th will be a Sunday. So I could be wrong. But
it is the it starts Saturday. So it's the day after is when E3 starts.
Oh, that's right. It's not the usual timetable this year anyway because it's virtual. Oh, no.
Change it up every year.
Well, they've also sometimes the press conferences have started that far in advance as well. I remember that. But anyway, I just think it's interesting that it's so close to all of that. So
just want you to know that the Game Awards were actually part of E3. It's just they started like 6 months in advance of E3. It's fine.
No. Game Awards are Summer Game Fest. There's a difference, Loki. Camp Keeley has his own thing.
It's all part of E3. That just takes place several months after E3. It's fine.
All right. Let's talk about, okay, maybe game garage builder camp thing is not up Dark Soccer's alley, but I know this one is, and it's releasing this Friday. It's the Mass Effect Legendary Edition is coming out this Friday. Dark Soccer, you have all yours pre-ordered and ready to go?
No.
No? Are you not
because
getting it?
Because I still have... I'm going to get it,
okay.
But I need to get my Windows virtualization set up, which means I'm probably going to have to dish out the funds for Parallels. Because they've got a Windows ARM for free that works now on the M1 Mac Mini.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my other games I've been playing have looked terrific. So I'm going to have to make sure that it's going to work for me playing it. And I don't want to get it through Stadia is the issue. I mean, And I do eventually want to get my Dead by Daylight stuff linked for on Steam as well so that I can just pick up where I left off.
Yeah, that'll be nice. You'll get that benefit where I didn't coming from Xbox One, but that'll be nice. But anyway, I actually haven't pre-ordered mine because I know I'm just going to walk into Target and get it. That's kind of what I do now. Like, I don't trust games to deliver on time. I just go into Target and get them. But I'm definitely going to pick up the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I'll probably get it on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, because that's my most advanced console I have right now. And I played the original on Xbox 360 first, so it's kind of like, it was kind of my home base for Mass Effect. And yes, this means I will be buying Mass Effect 3 for the fifth time. Shut up. Let's talk about the original Mass Effect, because that's where the most exciting changes are coming, is that they're really kind of giving an overhaul to the first Mass Effect game to kind of catch it up to where 2 and 3 were. And, of course, one of those quality of life changes is the Mako and driving that. That's the car in Mass Effect. And it wasn't a lot of fun to drive. I don't remember hating it, but I remember thinking, like, this thing is a pain in the ass. And they've fixed it. However, if you are a purist and you insist on driving the Mako the original way, good news. In an interview with PC Gamer, Kevin Meek from BioWare said, "We've left the option to leave it back kind of closer to the original controls as well, if you want, for those people out there who do like pain."
Suffering.
I love that he said that about his own game. But that, you know what? You know what? There's always going to be that. There's always that person on social media that's going to be like, "I like the old way better."
It was better the way it was before.
It was better the way it was before. even though everybody else dunked on it. There's going to be somebody that's going to say the old way was better. Well, guess what? Person, the ooh, she's different person on Twitter. Guess what? You get to have it both ways if you want. So that's the big news this week. Yeah, and I'm excited to play the Legendary Edition in a few days. That'll probably make up a chunk of my gaming week next week. I'm still a little sad there's no multiplayer, but I get it. I understand why that's not an option. All right. Phoenix7726 says, the galactic readiness in 3 will be significantly changed as well. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, they're going to have to because there is no multiplayer. I don't think the phone app is going to be a thing anymore. Excuse me. So I think they already said it's going to be much more based on like the things you did and didn't do earlier on in the trilogy and in the game 3. Act Efton chat says, wait, Rob, you're not getting a copy for each console? No, you have to remember the reason. Why did I really buy Mass Effect 3 so many times? The multiplayer. There was no crossplay back then. And I had people I wanted to play PlayStation on. I had people I wanted to play PC on. I had people I wanted to play Xbox on. So that was kind of the reason. Also, it really helps that Wii U version was on sale like dirt cheap. That's when I picked that up. And I think the PlayStation trilogy was on sale when I bought it too. So because there's no multiplayer, I really don't see the need to get this on any other console. And I don't think I will. Never say never, I guess. Let's see. What was the other comment here? Oh, SG100 Matt said, will we see you stream any of it, Rob? I hadn't considered it because I didn't think people wanted to see it. But since you asked so nicely, sure, I can do a stream Friday night after work and do several hours of the first Mass Effect game and look at some of the changes. Streaming narrative games and RPGs is a little weird for me. I know other people do it. I know Darkstalker is doing it. But for me, it's a little weird because I always feel like when you kind of pick up something in the middle, it's a lot harder to follow. But I like to do those first night games. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, if it goes to EA Play, I might think about it. It probably will eventually. But that could be a couple of years out. Keep in mind, the original trilogy is already on EA Play. And I think it's interesting they didn't remove it or anything. So if you want to play the originals, is Mass Effect 3 on it? I don't recall. I know 1 and 2 are. But interesting. Dr. Tetsuya says, I hear there might be new DMCA concerns with the Mass Effect remaster. Saw something on Twitter that the music's in the library now. Well, they have until Friday to fix it. They did have a couple licensed songs in the game, too. So that could also be messing with it a little bit. So, play with the volume low in certain parts, especially the credits. Phoenix7726 says, I wonder why they stripped out the multiplayer from 3. They've commented on it, and it's basically that it wasn't the point of the remaster, and it would have been extra resources to do all that. And so they kind of left it. I wish they would do, especially because the Mass Effect whatever project they're working on now that was announced at the Game Awards a couple years ago, that project we're not going to see until like 2024, probably. Let's be real. It's going to be a lot. We still don't have the fucking new Dragon Age game. And how long have they been talking about that? So that Mass Effect game, it ain't happening for a long time. It would be very nice if, as a bridge in between, there was a multiplayer. And I've been saying this for a goddamn long time. If they just had a multiplayer-only game. A Mass Effect multiplayer-only game in the universe, a $40 game or something. Hell, do $20 and charge for boxes or whatever.
I still miss that.
Like, fucking people will play it. Darkstalker will play it. Like, you know. And she doesn't play a lot of multiplayer games that I can think of. So, do it. Anyway. Phoenix7726 says, the question about that project is, after the train wreck that was Andromeda, does anyone believe it could work? I feel like Andromeda's, yes, is the short answer. I feel like Andromeda has also gained a lot of favor with people the longer it's been around. I think you're seeing more and more people kind of come up and say, Andromeda was done dirty. And that's exactly the point I've been saying since day one. Andromeda was done dirty. That game wasn't fucking finished when they released it. Now that it's finished, it's actually not bad. Yeah, it's a little different because it's in another universe. It's weird to get it. But if you really look at it as what it is at this point, a side story, a side adventure, a Star Wars Rogue One, if you will, it's fine. I want to play through that again, too. So anyway. All right. Enough Mass Effect chat because we could go on for 3 hours just about that. Let's talk about a chatting program. Dark Sakura. I'm sorry. Yeah. Dark Sakura's next. Sorry.
Yeah, that's me. Sorry. Well, and I think that maybe a lot of people have even noticed this already, but Discord, which, I mean, we use for how we communicate with each other for the show. So, hi, we're an example.
We're literally on it right now. Yes.
Yeah. It's been really moving, well, I wouldn't say past gaming communities, but it's expanding out into other genre. There's non-gaming specific servers like DeFocus on TV. I'm in one for Supernatural, and there's roleplay groups, and there's discussions and things for fantasy fucking football and dating even. Mm-hmm. There's groups for fans of TV shows to get together and watch it in Discord so they can watch throughout the pandemic, you know, while we're quarantined. Yep.
I know people that pirate Drag Race that way. Basically, they have their view parties for Drag Race that they don't, you know, like an East Coast friend streams it so that the West Coast friends can watch it. I'm not saying I've ever done it. I just know that that's a thing.
Well, and one of the things that makes Discord special is that they're not funded from ads. They don't make any money from ads. They make their money through Nitro, which is a service that's either $9.99 a month or $99.99 a year that gives some extra features like high-res video, animated emoji, a few other things. But right now, they have more than 140 million monthly active viewers. And but in 2019, it was at 56 million. So it is already practically tripled.
Yeah.
19 million weekly active servers. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy. So, but now, I mean, like some professors are using it to teach their classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Microsoft was interested in buying Discord for about $10 million. This was in March.
Yep.
But instead, now they have a partnership with Sony.
Which we'll get into next.
Yeah. But the thing, it's customizable. A lot of people find it as an attractive alternative to using Slack. And Slack, don't get me wrong, Slack is great for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And nonprofits. I think that there's a lot more freedom for an open chat forum using Discord than using Slack.
We still use Slack for Ingress stuff too. Like when
we use Slack at work.
We had the big event in Ingress in here in October, and we used Slack heavily for that, for the planning and all that stuff. I'm sorry, October before the pandemic, October 2019, and
I do like the threading that Slack has better over Discord,
mm-hmm.
but I think Discord is better for a broader audience. Does that make sense?
The biggest thing that Slack really has is those integrations, and you can integrate to a level. Discord has bots, but you can integrate Slack to a little bit of a stronger degree than you can Discord, if that makes sense. At least from my perception is, from based on the stuff I've seen, is that bots are cool, but they're bots. The integrations you do on Discord, on Slack, go a little bit further. So,
well, the really big thing to get from this though is that with that exponential growth as it is, and this is in about a year and a half, we're seeing all these other forums pop up on here, and of course Discord ain't mad about it, but I think that it's almost like how we were seeing things happen with YouTube, right? Where it was just, oh, these people's videos, now we have like entire shows and music video releases and this and that. We're definitely seeing Discord become, I think at its core, it's still the gamers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that there's room for everybody in that play box, in that sandbox.
Absolutely. Bob Coffey in our chat says, all Discord is IRC with embedded cat pictures. Respectfully, no.
Much better.
Yeah, I get because what you described is kind of Slack. Here's the thing that Discord has that Slack doesn't and IRC doesn't. Look, we're doing it right now. This show, video chat, able to do this whole thing. And if we wanted to, I could probably bring, I mean, I have to have the layouts for it and everything, but I could, I've done it before when I've brought like Delvin or Shane or somebody on here as a fourth chair. And Jamie and I have been talking offline about having some more fourth chairs in the future from the community and so forth. So we might, you know, we can do that all through Discord. And that, you know, especially now in the pandemic era, that's something that IRC really couldn't bring us. IRC still had bots and all that cool stuff. Or whoever played Acrophobia and that stuff on IRC, right? So you still had some of that stuff. But the big, big difference, and I think really why Discord is going to the moon right now, especially in the pandemic. This pandemic has been a terrible thing. But let's be real. Some companies have made a lot of fucking money off of it. And I'm not just talking about pharmacies. I'm talking about Zoom, big one, right? The number one, probably. And this, Discord, has done very well because of the pandemic. But isn't it kind of cool that like people that you never thought would use video chat software are kind of able to use it now? Like it's a very, I can tell my 82-year-old dad to do a Zoom call and he knows how to do it.
Yeah.
That's
it's become a necessity.
Thing. Yeah.
This is what our culture is now.
Now in chat, they're kind of having a side conversation here. Phoenix7726 asked, how does Microsoft's solution compare? And DJ Rama S said it was Teams. Bobby says it's Microsoft Teams. And to be fair, I can't evaluate it. I've never used it.
I use it at work. It's all right.
It's all right. It's kind of this. It kind of is very similar to Slack, isn't it?
It's not even really. It's more of like, I think of like an instant messenger more. You can share, like, it feels like an instant messenger to me. And you can share, like, stuff. You can have chats. You can call people through it and do meetings. But it's not, it doesn't feel like Discord at all.
Yeah.
They don't have, I mean, it's sort of set up, I guess. It's just a guest appearance. But, yeah, you can set up different groups and stuff like that and have discussions. I don't know if you can do groups within groups. Maybe you can. I don't know. But
isn't Teams like a kind of almost like a step ahead from Skype? Because
a little bit.
Okay, so at my business, we use Skype for business. So we're still on that, like to chat and do the stuff we need, desktop share and stuff. But I keep seeing things about getting upgraded to Teams. So I think that might be coming in the future because I think that's the next progression. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, so Darksoccer referenced something there that I know you were going to elaborate on, Loki.
Yeah. So Discord now is going to be integrated a little bit with PlayStation. So this is coming from the fact that Sony has actually invested a minority stake in Discord itself. And the company's plan to bring Discord and PlayStation experiences closer together on console and mobile starting early next year. And apparently they're working hard on connecting Discord with the social and gaming experiences of PlayStation Network. I'm guessing maybe that'll show like which games you're playing, maybe some sort of crosstalk between, I don't know, like the chat rooms and stuff. It'd be nice to see if them integrate that because aren't they getting rid of like the party chat and stuff like that, or they're doing something with it?
Well, they got rid of communities already.
Communities. So maybe this is replacing communities. Be interesting to see if that's what they're doing with it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It sounds cool. I can't wait to see what they do with it.
I think it's important to remember that Microsoft also has kind of a partnership with Discord. And that is that if you like link your Xbox account with your Discord account, that I think there's some benefits that cross over. Don't quote me on that. Namely also, and this is the big one, is that if I'm playing a game on Xbox, you see it on Discord. You know how like on Discord you can see so-and-so is currently streaming, or it says so-and-so is playing Dead by Daylight, which mine probably says a lot. But if I'm on Xbox, I imagine it also will say is playing Dragon Quest Builders 2. Like it does that. And so when I first read this story, that I was kind of like, I think people are going crazy with it. Sounds like PlayStation's just doing the same thing. And they're integrating Discord in that regard. But it actually sounds like maybe PlayStation is planning to go a step further with this. That, like, now we really see, oh, this is why they got rid of communities real fast. You know, they didn't give a lot of warning on the communities going away. Maybe there really is going to be some integration within the console itself of Discord.
It's exciting to see what they do. If they actually would just talk about it, you know, then we could figure it out and be excited about it. But nope, let's keep it a secret forever.
Yeah, be interesting. So maybe we'll find out more about this. This could be the type of thing that Sony unveils in an E3 timeframe. I know I say that a lot, but... you know, it's not far away, and especially if Sony has sunsetted communities as fast as they've done, I think they're already planning something. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, maybe not so fast, because some folks in chat, I guess, saw something I missed. SG100 Matt says we apparently won't see anything with it until 2022, probably because the PlayStation firmware takes that long to update. Honestly. And ActDev says...
There's got to be some PlayStations to put it on, you know, yeah. So...
ActDev says, the thing is that considering this isn't coming anytime soon, it seems that there is more. So maybe we'll see as a small first step, that whole, you know, what you playing kind of connection that Xbox has, and then maybe there will be more to it in 2022, like some actual integration within the console itself. That'd be very interesting. And very good news for Discord, who is venturing it alone and plans to be its own company and probably its own IPO at some point, way down the line. All right. Excuse me. Let's talk about this next story, which has to do with Summer Games Done Quick. I can't believe we're already at the point we're talking about Summer Games Done Quick. Like, weren't we just done with Awesome Games Done Quick? Like, this year has just, like, flown by. But a lot of people, of course, look forward to these weeks. Not only are they a great charity event, but they're just a lot of fun to watch, right? Speedrunning is almost a sport of a sport within of the video game community. And people can watch it a lot, just like they consume something like ESPN. So Summer Games Done Quick 2021 has basically released all the games that will be played during Summer Games Done Quick. Now, the difference here, this is not the what is being played when list. That comes later. This is just the list of basically like what's been accepted. So it's alphabetical. There's still a lot of stuff to be determined about Summer Games Done Quick. For example, I believe our pal Bobby Blackwolf doesn't yet know about the hosting thing. I think there's still a little time on that. And some of the other things they have to figure out. Is pointed out that Summer Games Done Quick is still going to be virtual. And they announced that some time ago.
That makes sense.
I think, though, they still have a skeleton crew at the home base hotel that's kind of like the master control switch. And honestly, now that, you know, vaccines are a thing, you got a lot more states that are opening up in mid-June. I don't think that whole notion is as dangerous as it once was. But there is probably still some hesitancy about, can we get 500 people in a room to watch this? That's the part where I think there's still a lot of hesitancy there. So, Bobby says they always have a skeleton crew that runs the stream in Virginia. I remember that because you talked about it on a previous show. Anyway, the list is out. It's way too long for me to read everything on it, but some things that caught my eye. I love me some Bayonetta. The Batman video games on NES and Genesis. I thought it was cute that they kind of have both of those going on there. Cave Story 3D, a recent-ish classic game of the week. You know we love our Bomani. That's where our roots are here at Orange Lounge Radio. And they've got Dance Rush Stardom. That's the new one with the fancy floor.
Awesome.
That's the new.
I want to see that.
Yeah, that's the new one with the floor that I'm not coordinated enough to play. I've tried playing it, and the reality is, when this show started, I was in my 20s, and now I'm in my 40s. So a little different. They're doing a dance showcase.
When I get all that disposable income someday, I'll have to get one of those.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you get to see an hour and a half of a dance showcase played by Ijiken, if I said that name right. I'm sorry if I mispronounced the name there.
It's going to be amazing.
Looks like they're doing a Destiny 2 raid of sorts, so I think that's kind of neat. F-Zero GX, hell yeah, one of my all-time favorites, underrated. In the more recent department, Horizon Zero Dawn. I guess that game's a few years old at this point, but still, it's kind of... Dark Tetsuya, where you at? Because they're doing the La Mulana remake. I know that's one of your faves out there. And for Dark Sakura, they're doing Mass Effect 2. speed run, and it's going to be done in an hour and 31 minutes. My God, that's going to be something else. Lots of Mega Man games.
I don't know how I feel about speed runs of Mass Effect. Maybe I'll watch it.
It's a novelty. Let's just put it that. Pokemon games, of course. There's going to be a black and white race. So that's going to be for that Gen 5, that would be. So the Gen 5 race. And then somebody is running Pokemon Emerald. That'll be kind of fun to watch. Resident Evil 7 is getting speed runs. Not 8 yet. 8's a little too new, but 7.
Just came out, yeah.
Yeah.
can't be the speed run.
Watch them words, Loki. You know they're already working on it. Watch them words. It's absolutely being worked on already. And, of course, the old favorite, Super Metroid, is back. And there's some Mario. And I was trying to see if anything else jumped out at me. Oh, for me, Zoda's Revenge, Star Tropics 2. We don't talk about the Star Tropics series on NES enough, quite honestly, because people don't even remember there was a second game. So it's kind of cool that
that was
totally
a classic game. Maybe I haven't done Zoda's Revenge, but I brought it up when it did.
Yeah. You did the first one. You didn't do the second one yet. But the second one is interesting because it was the next to last game on the NES. I believe Wario's Woods was last, but Star Tropics 2 was next to last. So it's interesting for that reason. Bobby Blackwolf says Resident Evil 8 will be at Awesome Games Done Quick. Oh, Bobby pointing out something I missed. There are no Final Fantasy games. That's interesting.
What?
Well,
I guess it'll take a long time.
They always do them. And I think it's okay to put something on the back burner for a little bit, you know.
Jazz Punk will be fun. I like that game.
Yeah.
What else do they have that looks pretty awesome in here? I don't know. Jeez, there's like so many Mega Mans.
Questbusters.
So they must be having a race for that.
So following up your Resident Evil 8 comment, Questbuster is commenting in chat, Bowser's Fury already made the list. And that hasn't been out that long, all things considered. So
yeah, it's February, though. That's still
some
time.
All right. Anyway, so go check out the list at gamesdonequick.com. Check that out. And I'm sure everybody will be watching the event later on this summer. So, all right, let's move on. Dark Sakura with some more studio acquisition news.
Indeed. And this, it has a little bit of significance on this one. So EA has bought a video game developer, Metalhead Software, that is a creator of a game called Super Mega Baseball. And EA, of course, you know, since they bought them, that means that they've got a new baseball franchise under their belt now. And so, it's been over 10 years since their last baseball sim. That was MVP 07 NCAA Baseball. So it looks like that this Metalhead developed game is going to be coming out as an EA title. They are in Victoria. And their office is still going to be open and functional. But Metalhead, its IPs are going to be owned by EA. So there you go.
All right. EA's grabbing them up. So.
But this means that they're looking back in the baseball genre. So.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. All right. Let's move on. Loki.
Yeah. So there's we talked about this once every few weeks or so about the new enhancements being done to some of these older games. On Xbox with the FPS boosting where they're like doubling the FPS on certain games and whatnot. I was trying to get the full list. They added another 70 games to it now. So it's ridiculous. Right now, some of the ones to note, you know, they have Assassin's Creed, the Ezio Collection, Dying Light, Far Cry New Dawn, Lego Worlds. Those are all now at 60 FPS. Metro Last Light at 120 FPS. Metro is a great game, seriously.
It is important to note, some of these you have to enable. Like, it's not just...
Yeah.
Because I believe sometimes the frame boost affects quality, so for that reason, you have to enable it if you want it. So there's a lot of guides out there from Microsoft on how to do this within your Xbox console, so it's something you should be aware of. I believe if the game supports this, it has an icon that says so at this point.
Yes, and the most important game, getting a 120 FPS mode, Untitled Goose Game, because I need that game to run at 120 FPS.
Honk, honk.
Think of how fast I can honk now in that game with 120 FPS. You know, Let's honk on every single frame, and we'll do that. So, yeah, lots and lots of games that are backwards compatible with that the FPS boost. I mean, we can't go over all of them, but there's a lot. So I was trying to see if there's any other notable ones on here. I can't tell what was already on that list that they added now, but it's a lot. There's a full list on Xbox.com if you're curious. I'm also sure it's probably listed in Games Pass, you know, what's on there.
But yeah, look for the icons.
I mean, there's a ton of games, and they're going to keep adding to it. So
this is kind of what they're doing instead of backwards compatibility now. Well, I shouldn't say instead. They claim they're still working on backwards compatibility, but I what's left besides the DDR games? I can't think of anything, but I'm sure there's some. But yeah. All right.
Have they done Beat and Groovy yet?
Yes. You weren't expecting that answer, were you? But yes, that is
Rock Revolution compatible. No,
I don't think that one is. Neither is the Rock Band. Rock Band Blitz, but that's probably a music licensing thing coming into play there. Who knows? Phoenix 7726 says we need a DJ Hero remake. Honestly, yes.
Oh God, I would be there day one immediately.
Yeah, but
I absolutely buy that.
I don't know if it's going to happen because that Guitar Hero reboot, as good as it was, didn't do great.
We have unfortunate news, as we talked about last week. There can't be a DJ Hero game because all of the games now all the game companies now at Activision are working on Call of Duty. So it's all Call of Duty from now on. That's all that they're putting out.
Womp womp. All right. Well, Blizzard's putting some stuff out, and of course, the classics that they're putting out are there's a lot of they've been kind of dipping into the vault while they've been working on some new games. We know Diablo 2 Remastered is coming later this year, but coming a lot sooner on June 1st, the launch of World of Warcraft Classic: The Burning Crusade. So this is something that was teased several months ago that Blizzard's going to be doing this. I think they've done some testing on it as well, but The Burning Crusade will be launching on June 1st. This is kind of a big deal for me because this was the expansion that really got me into WoW. I did play in vanilla, but I didn't play a lot in vanilla. I subscribed for maybe like 2 months in vanilla. I started doing the raiding and shit in the Burning Crusade. That's when I really got into WoW. So I think this is really interesting. I'm not sure I have the drive to pay the monthly fee to do it again, but I'm also not going to say I'm not going to do it. So we'll see. And remember, you pay. So you basically play a WoW fee. And then with that monthly fee, you get to pick. Do you want to play modern WoW or do you want to play classic WoW? Now, you might be wondering, well, aren't there going to be people that are going to be pissed off because what happens to vanilla WoW? Here's the kind of neat, interesting thing. They're going to coexist. You're going to have WoW, classic, vanilla WoW, and Burning Crusade that coexist. So what's going to be happening in the next couple weeks, you get to make a decision. You decide, do you want to move your character ahead to Burning Crusade, or do you want to clone your character so you can keep playing? But why wouldn't you just clone? Maybe it might be character space limitations, actually, now that I'm thinking this out loud. So most people, I imagine, will probably just clone. I don't know why you wouldn't do that, but there might be some people that don't. Now, for me, I don't even want to bring my character over. I would want to start a Draenei or a Blood Elf and play the game from that perspective all over again. In fact, the Draenei starting area is so pretty. In my head, I'm making my Draenei Shaman.
It's
this is dangerous.
One of my favorites.
This is dangerous. But anyway, yeah. So May 18th is when that is all being implemented, and you get to make your choice in WoW Classic. WoW Classic also coming under a little bit of heat because they're starting to do some store and microtransaction stuff with it, with some of the rare mounts and mounts you can't get anymore. But of course, people are like, there wasn't a microtransaction store in Classic WoW. Well, Classic WoW didn't support widescreen either, but here we are. So, you know, it's different times, I suppose. So some things are not going to be Classic.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, this is classic Activision, not classic WoW that we're dealing with here. So there will be a microtransaction store.
Phoenix 7726 says, Rob, so are we eventually going to have separate instances of the game at every expansion point? In my opinion, they'll absolutely do this again for Wrath of the Lich King. Absolutely, that is going to happen. That is what most people consider to be the pinnacle of WoW, was the Wrath of the Lich King. In my opinion, that's it. They don't go beyond Wrath of the Lich King. The The expansions after that weren't quite as well received. And I just don't, and I think the viewpoint is going to be, if you want to play Mists of Pandaria, if you want to play, you know, Legion or some of those, then play Modern WoW. It's there. It's still there. And I don't think they've really changed Pandaria, because that would be the expansion after Wrath of the Lich King in Modern WoW. I think they've done little changes to Outland, and they've done changes to even Northrend, and they certainly changed Vanilla WoW. Cataclysm was after Wrath of the Lich King. That's why they have to stop, because Cataclysm completely changed. Am I mixing them up in my head?
Huh?
I can't even remember what fucking order these expansions were in anymore. It was, no, Cataclysm was after, not Pandaria. Cataclysm was after.
Cataclysm was before the pandas.
Okay, Cataclysm was after Lich King. Okay, so then my point is, but Cataclysm completely changed Vanilla WoW. So they have to stop there, because then Vanilla WoW is done. Although, of course, could they have all these servers that are frozen in time? They could. Cataclysm was not as well received as the others. I would be very surprised if they go past Wrath of the Lich King. But if they have enough people playing it, then they might. So I don't know. All right. Bonds 006 questioning my choice of going Draenei, saying, I don't know, Rob, I'm for the Horde. And Bonds 006 says, the Lich King, just a big man baby who wanted more than he deserved. Well, you know, some epic raids and stuff, though. I mean, there's going to be people that would absolutely want to run Ice Crown Citadel again. I don't know why, but they will. For sure. All right. Well, since we're talking about classics, let's talk about a classic. It's that part of the show where Darkstalker is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, forget signing up to pay your monthly fee so you can play Classic WoW all over again. Find a cartridge of this and suffer, because this game was fucking hard. I gotta tell you Alan's comment on this pick a little later, because he saw me pulling the B-roll down tonight, and he's like, oh, I got stories about this. But let's get to it, Dark Sakura. You like to step into Gaming Vault, find a game that kids should be playing. What is the classic game of the week?
It is The Simpsons Bart versus the Space Mutants.
There it is.
And so this game is not the best of all games. I will say that. Sometimes I pull out a stinker. But it is notable for being one of the best known games based off of The Simpsons, one of the very early ones. It came out in 1991 for the NES. It also came out for the Amiga, the Amstrad CPC, Atari ST, Commodore 64, and the ZX Spectrum, and then in 92 for the Sega Genesis, Master System, and Game Gear. It was published by Acclaim, RIP, and Ocean Software for the computers, and was developed by Imagineering and Arc Developments. So, basically, with this one, you start off as playing Bart. Oh, for the record, the Amiga and MS-DOS versions had a different animated intro that was basically like a digitized clip from the show. Anyway, it is a 2D side-scrolling platformer. You play in a single-player game. You play as Bart, and he is the only one who knows of the aliens' plan, because his X-ray specs allow him to see them, kind of like They Live. You know, obey. At any rate, he has to basically stop them from picking up certain items they need for an ultimate weapon. And he goes through 5 levels, and he has to either collect or destroy certain objects. Purple things in the first level, hats in the second, balloons in the third, exit signs in the fourth, and nuclear rods in the fifth. If he loses a life, he says, eat my shorts! And then, of course, the other objective is for Bart to convince his family about the aliens so that they'll help him in levels. So you have different equipment. You have rockets and cherry bombs. You can buy them with coins that you collect when the aliens are vanquished. You have to jump on their heads to get rid of them. And then in the first level, you can call Mo and prank him so that you get spray paint, you know, so all kinds of interesting stuff. it actually is, you know, one of the earliest games based on The Simpsons, has the theme song from the show. And it was designed by Gary Kitchen, who developed Keystone Capers and Pressure Cooker for Activision. And as far as the reviews that it got, it was a bestseller. I mean, it sold pretty well, but critics have been critical. Some places said that the game was both difficult and boring. Nintendo Power gave it a 66 out of 100. And the quote is, "His adventure, though, is anything but a game for underachievers. It is very challenging and could be frustratingly so to some players." But, you know, it's one of those games, however, that sticks out in, I would say, in the mental history of people who lived through that era, who knew when it came out. And yeah, I played it, and yeah, it's hard. I kind of didn't care for it myself, but it is, I would put it in the area of being fairly notable, wouldn't you say?
I would say.
Yeah. Did you ever play it?
I did play it. I think I may have had to use the Game Genie with it, but I did play it quite a bit. I played all of the Simpsons games, actually, on both the Nintendo and Super Nintendo, so most definitely played this. I remember it being extremely hard, and I don't know, just kind of weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
I was going to say, I did not play it. I did not get into the Simpsons games until Bart's Nightmare on the Super Nintendo, which I played a little bit of that.
That
which
was
also
definitely
was
a better
funky.
Game.
What's that?
I said that one was definitely a better game.
Yeah, not by much, but yes. better because of the platform it was on. But I will say, so Alan saw me grabbing the B-roll for this tonight, and he's like, oh, this game. But he played it, and he said he'd beat it, which I was pretty impressed by because I know this game was notorious for its difficulty, for one. But he also pointed out that it had really good homages to the show. Like,
oh, yeah.
Especially when you consider it's on the NES, you know, it was where most people know it from. Yes, I know there's Amiga and that stuff, too, but most people know the NES version. Like, you know, the fact that it has, you know, a pretty true-to-form crank call in it, all the characters and references from the early seasons of The Simpsons, which I don't know about you guys, but those are the only ones I remember. I can't tell you anything The Simpsons has done in the last 20 years. It blows my mind the show is still on, quite frankly.
It has been fairly prophetic, though.
Yeah, it's yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, because didn't it predict that like Trump would be president like years and years before? That's not it. There's like a lot of other stuff too. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think also, you know, as much as this game was not like super well received critically, I think this really speaks to the power of the licensed games back in the day. And I think there's a big difference between back in the day licensed games and now. Like, now, I think it's kind of like a running gag that things that are based on movies and stuff usually stink. But back in the day, like, a license would really sell a game. Fucking look at E.T. on the Atari. You know, that was... They wrote everything on that game. And even though E.T. is not solely responsible for the video game crash, even though many people, like, faulted for that, it was definitely a reason. And I think just, you know, spoke to the power of like what licenses can do for selling games based on name alone, quite frankly, especially in the example of E.T. And I think why this is a worthy classic game of the week, Dark Sakura, because there isn't a lot of stuff like it on the NES. There's other licensed stuff, you know, but I the Simpsons one in particular, the way it sold so well, I think is all because of, you know, the fact that it's a Simpsons game, and because it's a video game on the NES, it looked a little more like the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty good for a NES game, you know, as far as graphically.
Yeah, and I did not know, I learned this for the first time tonight, thanks to Dark Sakura. I had no idea the guy behind Keystone Capers did this. As far as Atari classics go, I think that one is extremely underrated. I may have even done that. I'd have to check the wiki. I may have done that as a classic game on one of the weeks that you weren't here, Dark Sakura.
I think you did.
I think it's that good of a game.
That's why I brought it up.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, though. I don't remember talking about it. It was probably a while ago, but yeah.
That's the game.
All right.
There it is. Bart versus the Space Mutants. Before I take us back here, I do want to point out in chat, Questbuster is saying Acclaim was huge on licensed games. They also made a lot of bad games. That's right. They made some good stuff and they made some bad stuff. Weren't they also Wizards and Warriors? Wasn't that Acclaim? Or was that Rare? That was Rare.
I don't think it was Rare. Hold on, I'll double check.
Okay. Let's see. And then many folks in
it's
chat.
Acclaim.
Okay.
It's Acclaim.
It is Acclaim. Okay. And then many folks in chat talking about Arcade Simpsons being the one that people really remember. Yes, absolutely. But for whatever reason, and probably just due to the licensing issues and stuff, the arcade version of The Simpsons never existed on the NES. Correct me if I'm wrong. They finally got the Ninja Turtles game on it. I don't think they ever did the Arcade Simpsons on the NES. I don't think it was till there may have been PC version, I think, or a computer version. But yeah, that's the one that certainly a lot of people remembered. Okay, so DJRama S on the Wizards and Warriors, it was both. Rare developed it, Acclaim published it. So it was both names on that. That's why my brain was hurting. Okay, awesome. Orange Wright says it was only ported to DOS. Yeah, I thought I remember playing this one. He also thinks maybe Commodore 64, which surprises me, but also doesn't, because the Commodore 64 was still a huge platform into the early 90s in other countries. So, interesting. All right, anyway, a lot to say on that one, huh? Great pick, Dark Sakura. I mean, yeah, it's not something that's remembered for being great, but I think it is remembered for being important, I guess. You know, not just in its urban legend of how fucking hard it is, but just a licensed game that really kind of sold a lot on the NES. So, all right. Let's get into some rapid fire news and talk about some other things going on in the industry kind of quickly here. So, Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah, a game I need to go back and play is Yakuza Like a Dragon, and it's kind of cool to see that the studio behind it is actually talking about some future releases in the Yakuza series, and they're saying that they're going to be following the same game style with turn-based RPG combat instead of just the standard brawler. So I'm all about that. I can't wait to check out the new game. So coming soon, I guess, at some point. And then for PlayStation Plus in May, we've got a few games that are going to be available with your subscription. So looks like Wreckfest on PlayStation 5, Stranded Deep on PlayStation 4, and Battlefield 5 on PlayStation 4. And those are available until June 1st. Cool.
All right. And Bobby in chat mentioning that Judgment is the brawler line. And yeah, I caught that about that split with Yakuza. Does that speak to the Yakuza Like a Dragon performed pretty darn well? And so they want to make more games like that? That might have helped that it was one of the only truly next-gen titles available when Series X launched, I think. Probably helped. I still need to play it at some point. But, I know Bobby played through the whole thing and really enjoyed it, and he's not the only one I've heard kind of mention that. So that's interesting that the series is kind of pivoting like that. But at the same time, you know there'd be people that would be pissed if the main Yakuza series, you know, completely took that over and adopted that format. So it's nice that the Judgment series kind of also exists for fans of, classic Yakuza, as it were, at this point. So,
yeah.
All right. Questbuster says, as someone that has played every game in the Yakuza series, except for the Japan-only releases like Ishin, I'm okay with this change. I think most people are, because both games still exist. They just have different titles. It's not the end of the world. You can buy both. You can buy neither. You can buy one or the other. All right. Dark Sakura, please.
So, Shirley, who is Shirley Curry, who is the Skyrim playing grandma, she actually now has her own mod and she's provided her voice for it. So it's basically called Shirley, a Skyrim mod. It's up on Nexus. She's in there as a, she'll give you some stories of her adventures and has a little house and some unique items and a quest to complete. She has been immortalized in the game she loves.
That's awesome. Thank you, modders.
Also, you can't marry her.
Well, wait, until the modders mod the mod.
I think it was one of the things she decided on.
They can't do something. They will do it.
Can the modders mod the mod
and make Grandma's Neighbor Maude, starring Bea Arthur.
Yes.
So, and next story.
And then there's Maude. And then there's Maude. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
No, nobody under 40 is going to understand what I just did. All right, go ahead.
Avex, which we know Avex tracks, great, you know, music producer, is going to be bringing back Cyber Trance series, but a little bit more modern. It's definitely one of those compilations that I really enjoyed, in the early aughts. And I think it's going to be great. They've also brought out a Cyber Trance YouTube channel. And they are bringing back also the Velfar Cyber Trance series.
Oh, wow.
Is going to be available for streaming. So that's really awesome, and they're going to take all my money.
I'm excited for this, too. Jason even references in the intro that he's, you know, a shout out to Jason, who does all our voiceovers here, if you didn't know. He was talking about that in the intro, and I'm like, yep, pretty much the same. You know, I'm looking forward to this, too. I didn't know they already had stuff posted on YouTube. Dark Tetsuya in chat says the song on their YouTube was pretty sick, so I'm going to need to check that out. I just hope, unlike last time, I hope this time they put it up on streaming services so that we're not just having to trade, like, burn CDs, which I know you're not really...
I can check Apple Music real quick.
Which, please do, because if it's there, it's going to be everywhere. Now in the days, you know, the nice thing is the streaming services, you're seeing more of the international stuff, especially when it comes to video game stuff, is going on those services. So that's pretty cool. Sadly, what's still not on streaming services, because I was just thinking about this the other day, is the Dance Maniacs series that a lot of the DDR originals came from. Still not on.
So there are some Cyber Trance stuff up on there, but I don't see anything really recent. There's the Hamasaki Ayumi stuff. There's Cyber Trance Presents IU Trance 2. Mm. So it's some of the older stuff is up there, but... Yeah. The stuff is there.
I remember what put me down that road, because I realized Spotify released a lot of back catalog Erotic, the band that was in DDR, you know, do it all night, do it with me, all that stuff. So their back catalog, like all their CDs are available on Spotify now. And I imagine if it's there, it's Apple Music and, you know, all the places you listen to music. And including their ABBA album, which I'm going to tell you, the cover of Angel Eyes that Erotic does, which is a very underrated ABBA song, number one. Number two, Erotic does a killer job of that song. So that made me think, where's that Dance Mania Erotic Nonstop Mega Mix? Remember that album? That album was great. Yeah. That's where Cat's Eye came from. And then they had a bonus track that's probably one of the best songs they've ever had called In Mon Coeur.
And they covered Cat's Eye.
Yeah.
Cat's Eye was a cover.
That's right. Cat's Eye was a cover. But the actual mix in DDR was on that Mega Mix CD. So anyway, this is super nerdy DDR stuff from back in the day when we were, this is what we would talk about nonstop, was this stuff. I wanted that album so bad, but that is not on streaming services. And that made me go down a rabbit hole of Dance Mania stuff. A lot of it's on YouTube though, somehow, without, getting copyright strikes, but I thought that was interesting. Anyway, sorry. I know that's supposed to be rapid, but it was a throwback. You tickled.
Rapidish?
Yeah. It's a rapid throw.
Rapid dash.
Rapid throw up. Wait.
No, not rapid throw up.
All right. Let's travel.
I'm sorry. I've been playing a little bit too much of the plague.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, and things will probably be getting a little sooner than the Erotic Mega Mix from Dance Mania on Spotify and Apple Music.
Yeah. We ain't getting that this week. I'm sorry. This week we're getting Hood, Outlaws, and Legends on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Ruby, Grim Eclipse, Definitive Edition on Nintendo Switch. Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir, and Famicom Detective Club, The Girl Who Stands Behind, both on Nintendo Switch. Mass Effect Legendary Edition on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Subnautica on Nintendo Switch. Subnautica Below Zero on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. That's it.
All right. Let's travel over to Japan. Golden Week is over, so now we're back to release dates in Japan. And we have a couple things this week. That Subnautica and Subnautica Below Zero pack on Switch that is also out this week in Japan. Also, the Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir and The Girl Who Stands Behind has a collector's edition coming out this week. I believe those are coming out in the U.S. as well. I know some folks are looking forward to that, but Japan's getting it too. So those are out on May 14th. That's what's on the Switch. PlayStation 5 actually gets Subnautica Below Zero as well in Japan this week, so you have that to look forward to. And then on the PlayStation 4, we have Subnautica Below Zero, and that's about it. MotoGP 21 is also out this week on PlayStation 4. Not the Mass Effect Legendary Edition in Japan. I imagine they'll have to wait a little bit to get a localized version of that. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Oh, only a handful. We have all on the 14th. We have Brigadine, we have Subnautica Below Zero, and Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
All right. Well, with Mass Effect, what else do you need? All right.
Sorry, did you say what else? Because those don't exist.
All right. Let's move on. We have a few more stories for you guys, and then we're going to get to the listener roundtable. I'm putting a new twist on it tonight. I haven't even told my co-hosts, but it'll be a good one. We're putting a new twist on the listener roundtable tonight, so I'll talk to more about that in a minute.
What a twist.
What a twist. I know, I'm M. Night Shyamalan-ing this right now, so let's do it. All right. Loki, what's next?
So there's apparently a class action lawsuit against Sony over the PlayStation Store. They call it a price monopoly. Being that, hey, it is on the PlayStation and there's only one storefront that you can purchase games on the PlayStation. And as such, games are probably more expensive on there than you would find at retail in a competitive market. They're alleging, nobody tell these guys about the eShop, okay? Nintendo. Actually, no, I take that back. Nintendo is just ridiculous prices all the time. And that's both physical and digital. But
can't you buy Nintendo stuff on Humble Bundle?
You can, but it's not like they, what I'm complaining about is that they've got, you know, their games are always $60 and they never discount them eventually. It's very rare that you find that stuff discounted, although I must say that I visited the local Target and they have a good stack of gaming watches marked down to $49.99. so, you know, maybe soon time to pick one of those up.
Let's wait till they get lower.
Wait till $19.99.
Yeah, wait for $19.99. Absolutely. All right.
Yeah, that's what they're alleging so far. They didn't give any sort of examples of like, hey, this game is this much here and this much here. It's right now it's a complaint. I'm guessing probably just to take, you know, aim at Sony when Epic is taking aim at Apple. And then granted, however, the court, you know, rules with the whole Apple thing, you know, about having multiple storefronts available on, you know, kind of these closed marketplaces. We'll see how that affects some of these other storefronts. So
somebody's
as well.
Trying to set the stage to have it trickle down to PlayStation, basically.
I think that's what they're trying, but I think it's going to be a hard sell right now.
It is. It's going to be a bit of a gamble, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go to the next story. Unfortunately, my computer froze. Can anyone assist me on the next story here?
Sure.
Go ahead. Do you want to do it?
You can do it.
Sorry. Okay. Live radio sucks.
So as we were talking about, you know, and it just makes sense. Gamescom 2021 is going to be an online only event after all. Originally, they were talking about some sort of, you know, a hybrid event, but now it's just, let's just go digital. I mean, with the way the pandemic is, you know, better safe than sorry. So a lot of folks, you know, already different events going purely digital. So it makes sense that this year they're going to be doing the same. It's still going to be happening. It looks like August 25th through the 27th. So we'll have to look forward to what they're going to announce during that time.
Yay.
Awesome.
Well, and I have some interesting news as well. It is my turn, right?
Yes, please.
Yep.
Okay. We have our inductees to the 2021 World Video Game Hall of Fame. Got some interesting ones on here, and none of them are surprising except that they haven't already been there. So out of all of these finalists, we now have StarCraft. We have Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Of course. Microsoft Flight Simulator, which I think that one's been a bit overdue. Drumroll, the very first Animal Crossing, which was out in Japan as Dobutsu no Mori E+, the GameCube version. Finally. And it is well-deserved. Well-deserved. They're all really, really top-notch inductees.
Is there some type of maybe like age requirement? I mean, I don't know if you know, but maybe there's an age because that game would be right about 20 years old. So if it's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think you have to have your first single or whatever, like 30, 20 years. I don't remember. So maybe there's something with that going on there. Just saying.
Fireman has it be on our classic game of the week list. So, you know, they don't induct us anybody.
They're just leeching on our shit.
Yeah. We have our own Hall of Fame. That's for sure.
We do. All right. There's some sticky ones in there.
Let's move on. Loki.
So this is stupid. I'm just going to say that now. But apparently there is Blizzard is blocking or has filed a notice of opposition with the Patent and Trademark Office to block Fox, as in the television network, from trademarking Diablo as one of the canine characters in the brand new series Housebroken, which is about dogs. So Blizzard is stating that there may be some confusion. It says, in the view of the fact that the marks at issue are identical and in consideration of other factors, such as the relationship between the opposer's goods and services as identified by Mark of Diablo and applicants' goods and their commercial strength, it's likely members of the public will erroneously believe that applicants' goods... Basically, they're saying they're going to be confused. I'm not going to be confused when I see, and as they state the different things that they're going to be using this patent for or trademark for, Diablo pet bowls or pet treats. I'm not going to think that, oh, Blizzard's putting out pet treats. Blizzard has pet litter that, that they're marketing their game with. It's stupid. It is absolutely stupid, and I hope that they punish them for this because it's ridiculous.
I'm not as likely to fall as hard on Blizzard on this. I think the issue is that Fox wants a trademark on Diablo, and so Blizzard wants to protect their existing trademark. Yes, it's a stretch, a lot of these things, but what about a t-shirt that says Diablo on it? What are they talking about? They're talking about the dog or they're talking about the game? Now, I guess a lot of that's going to depend on what's it look like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so like the name Diablo, I mean, there's, we have a park in California for, well, there's a volcano. There used to be a volcano, Mount Diablo. Are they going to sue the mountain? I mean,
no,
maybe the mountain.
No, because
sue
the the mountain's not trying to trademark the name.
But does it matter though? Like, it, if the actual treatments are like completely different, I don't see the point what they're going to be. There's no confusion. It's what they're. I mean, they have to say that there's confusion because otherwise they don't have a case. But like it, there's no confusion here.
I agree. It's a stretch. What I don't agree with is that I do think that Blizzard is taking issue. I see how Blizzard ended up in court with this. They're taking issue to the fact that someone else is trying to trademark Diablo. Perhaps if they don't defend it, then they look like they're willing to give it up or whatever, especially when they've got a couple games coming out on the way and there's going to be a lot of merchandise. Although, yes, of course, I believe that both. Yes, Diablo the game is not going to have pet food. Like, that would be ridiculous. But I think when it comes down to the more generic stuff, like, you know, shirts and stuff, it's really going to have to be about that look. And I'm not sure. And this is part of why these sorts of laws need to be updated and stuff, is that we know Diablo is Diablo when it's in a certain font and it's in red and, you know, looks all Satan-y, for lack of a better term, right? That's when we know Diablo. Whereas I don't think Diablo the dog is going to look anything like that. So, I don't know. Phoenix7726 is telling me this is a Stretch Armstrong stretch. Very stretchy. Well, Asiya Tiberian chat says YouTuber Patrick Star is allowed to use the name Patrick Star unless he's pretending to be a cartoon starfish.
That'd be annoying though. Like, if your name was trademarked, you're like, sorry, you can't use that. It's like,
that happened with that one singer when the group Lady Antebellum tried to change their name.
That's right. They Lady A was supposed to be the new name, and there was some artist in the Seattle area, I believe, that already used that name. That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. And they were trying to sue the shit out of her for a name that's already been hers for years.
Yeah. Yeah. So did they ever settle that, or did they have to change her name again?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But I mean, the term antebellum isn't...
Oh, no, no.
It's just an association, but it's just means before the Civil War.
Yeah, I understand why they changed it. That's not the issue. I just, you know, did they end up having to change it again because they couldn't use Lady A?
I don't know.
So
I don't know. They soured anything I could ever have thought positively of them with this.
The chicks didn't end up in the same situation, though, despite the fact their name is very vague. No, I think they actually, from day one, they gave credit. There was like an Australian group or something called that, and they kind of like gave credit to them right out the gate. And I think that's
they always seemed cooler.
All right. Fair enough. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, there's a dude named Mike Rowe who has a software company called Mike Rowe's Soft, and Microsoft tried to sue and lost. I never knew about that. That's an interesting... Mike Rose Soft.
Ha.
That sounds like... That's more of like he's trying to make a pun. And I could see a little bit of a problem there. But like... Because you don't just say... I don't know.
How... Okay, I have to ask. How does Four Seasons Gardening Company get to exist? Because now the hotel can prove...
That there's confusion.
That there's confusion.
Maybe they just consider that it's like, well, most people would... Idiots wouldn't think.
what idiot's going to confuse us with a gardening co? All right. Let's move on. Our last story tonight, a follow-up to something we had talked about previously, which is the Humble Bundle. And remember how we talked about that they were getting rid of those sliders. You wouldn't be able to donate as much to charity anymore and all this. Well, how about this? They've rethought their position. I wonder why. I wonder if there was outrage on any internet platform that was looking like they were having to retreat on their position a little bit. Humble wrote a blog post and said, "We've heard everyone loud and clear and apologize for the way these changes were rolled out. We are now taking a moment to pause, collect constructive feedback, and be more transparent about the path forward." So, long story short, the sliders are coming back. What's interesting, and Bobby really broke this down on his show, so I'll give him a shout out if you want to get the exact numbers on Bobby Blackwolf's show, but he was kind of going on about how the sliders, you know, they're a little bit hidden, but they always kind of, I guess, have been, at least for the last several years. The default numbers they're at are very interesting. It's something like 35% to Humble, 5% to charity, 60% to the developer for a game. And on books, it's even crazier. And I guess the thought is, yes, they can bring the sliders back and it'll keep them in people's good graces and all that stuff. But they must think that there's a lot of people that are not even going to bother to check the sliders and just, you know, pay whatever and be on their way out the door without adjusting the sliders, so that Humble can kind of intentionally take a bigger cut from the way the defaults are designed now, which is not terribly surprising and probably right in that thinking, that there's going to be a lot of people who just click the buy button without changing the sliders. But at least there's an option now, and you buyer beware, and you can make the decision for yourself. Now you know sliders are there. Look for them. But I thought that the whole reversal is kind of interesting. I am surprised, though, actually, that they did reverse their position, because I think we talked about this when this story first came up. But I think we figured that the Humble Store was probably in a little bit of trouble and needed to do something to make some money fast. And so this unpopular decision, because the alternative is no more Humble Store at all. And so they probably did this decision as this is how we can kind of save ourselves financially. The fact that they've had to retreat and change this back could end up dooming the company. Maybe. We'll see. So I hope not. I like that there's options out there. But we'll see what happens in the coming months. All right. Interesting follow-up tonight. Let's get to the part of the show where we have our listener roundtable. So we're going to accept your questions through our chat room. And, of course, the mailbag, and something else I'll get to in a minute here. But first, let's see what our email situation looks like. Well, we go to participate@orangeloungeradio.com and check out any emails that may have come in this week. I thought there was
email.
One. I thought there was one. Am I wrong?
No.
Oh, maybe I...
There is zero.
All right. I guess I confused it with last week's pile. How about that?
Drag Race talk. Except I'm not really watching anything else
and
right now.
It's not on. It's over.
Well, I didn't watch any of the other locations. Either.
Oh, yeah. There's the Australia one is going on, right? Or down... Excuse me. It's Australia and New Zealand, so it's down under. Yeah. So I'm... Y'all... As much as I love that show and I love a lot of the people who have been on it, it's too much. It's just too fucking much at this point, like with all the different countries and all this stuff. So DJ Rama S is suggesting now it has to be Dead by Daylight talk. If you don't send emails, then Jamie and I have free license to talk about as much Dead by Daylight as we want. I do kind of like that idea. That's a very good idea. I will take that into consideration. However, I mentioned that we would do something new here, and I intend to follow through on that. And that is that we are going to get some of your comments that you have left throughout the week in our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Because a lot of you guys post tweets, you post stories, you post things that we haven't always gotten around to on this show. So I think we need to dedicate this listener roundtable, or at least a portion of this, to that. And the reality is, you guys don't always ask a lot in chat. And so I want to get questions and feedback from other places. So we'll talk about some of the stuff that's in our Discord. Although now, of course, the week I'm saying you guys don't usually ask a lot in chat. It's blown up. So Phoenix7726 is suggesting, how about Dead by Daylight versus Drag Race? And DJ Rama S says, this came up in conversation earlier with Phoenix7726, Dead by Daylight versus Drag Race. Well, it's funny you say that. Okay, let's take this conversation to a place you didn't expect. So Dark Soccer, you watch a lot of Dead by Daylight on Twitch, and I got into this last week. Like, you have been probably a heavier participant in Twitch than you've ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great, because you're also promoting the show.
Well, yeah. And a few people have asked, you know, just when I mentioned I do a podcast, people have asked, so I'll indulge, because it's the one chance I get to actually talk about another stream in somebody else's stream.
Yeah, it's usually perceived as tacky to do that, but if somebody opens the door and asks, then it's, of course, you're fine, right? So, yeah. So there's a lot of Drag Race alumnus that stream, and they all stream Dead by Daylight. Because, again, it's that LGBTQ culture kind of calls to this game. And let's throw Dracula in as well, because I think, like, Bitch Puddin from Dragula does, like, other stuff too. And I know has done a lot of virtual drag shows, but I know she's played Dead by Daylight on stream as well. But Angina has a stream and does a lot of Dead by Daylight, although she does some artistic stuff, things with her husband as well. Detox has been a more recent addition to Twitch, has been streaming Dead by Daylight. I want to say
Trixie came into a chat I was in.
Trixie watches some of the same people that Dark Soccer and I do. And I think she's done her own Dead by Daylight stream, but not very often. Like once in a blue moon, you'll see her doing it.
If I'm right, I think it was an LC Losing Colors stream, which I made chat VIP.
Oh yeah. Well, Losing Colors a great Dead by Daylight streamer. Shout out
really,
Losing Color.
Really, just kind of cool person.
I really enjoy Nick and Prince as far as killers go, and I think Detox ended up rating him not that long ago. Yeah, there's a lot of great personalities out there. So
yeah, another of my favorites is Lupin. I guess it's N-A at the end, but another really, a really good one. But it's the best thing has just been that it's bringing, I guess, the community better known and maybe middle known, I guess, together.
And a lot of non-drag race drag streaming Dead by Daylight as well.
Oh, lots of queens.
London Bradshaw is one that comes to mind, who I think is really
London's
good. They're really
awesome.
Good. Who else? Well, Deer. I think a lot of people know Deer at this point.
Evolution.
Also,
Evolution has done some funny freaking videos.
Sutton Pfister or something like that is her name. Does Dead by Daylight as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There's a lot of good talent on there. So, anyway, so there you go. There you go. There's as requested your Dead by Daylight cross Drag Race talk. Loki's sitting there going, I didn't request this.
I did not request this. Also noticed in my background there that this So this is Earth Defense Force World Heroes. It's that like 3D dot game heroes meets Earth Defense Force, and the character just dabbed on the windscreen. I don't know what to feel about that. So
okay,
we'll see.
Bonds 006 chat says, Rob said Dead by Daylight versus Drag Race, and my girlfriend was like, who's making that? Because I want it now. All right, let's indulge one more. One more. Dead by Daylight announces a new RuPaul's Drag Race pack. Who is the killer and who is the survivor? In a RuPaul's Drag Race Dead by Daylight pack, who is the killer and who is the survivor? Loki, what would you say? No, I'm just kidding.
I have no idea who anybody is on that show.
Of course, our survivor. You know who it would be.
Who?
The one who always comes back. Hallelujah.
Oh, Shangela. Okay.
It would be Shangela. And then the enemy, the killer, would be Roxy Andrews.
And she's here to make it clear.
Yeah. No, no, no. It would be What's-Her-Face from the one who's been causing all that shit on from season one.
Oh, Tammy Brown? Or
not Tammy Brown. No.
Chanel?
No, the one who was like threatening to bomb DragCon and all that.
Oh, that was season two, Tyra Sanchez.
Yeah, Tyra Sanchez.
Oh,
yeah.
That's like, okay. All right.
She would be the killer.
There's so many people in chat that are like, I have no fucking idea what they're talking about. Okay, I'll wrap this up. Look, hey, look, y'all brought it up in chat. This segment is for Bonds 006's girlfriend only. Everyone else fast forward. Okay. Then I would say, so for the killer and the survivor, oh, this is such a tough one. The killer would be the producers. Light Profusion suggests Katya is a killer. That's a really good one. By the way, I don't shout out a lot of the like celebrity podcasts very often, but I am going to say the Bald and the Beautiful, Katya and Trixie's podcast. They just did an episode with Katya and her mom, and it's not actually her mom, spoiler alert. And if you know your comedians, you will recognize her voice in the first 5 seconds.
It was is it the Tracy Ullman, Julie Tenuta,
Devin Green.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to my home. It's her, and
that's awesome.
It's the funniest fucking thing I've heard in a very long time. So just shout out for that. I will say that. So yeah, I'm thinking Katya's the killer. I think Light Profusion might be onto something. I think I just would see it. Except she'd be a flop killer. And that's okay. She'd be like, oh, they got out the gate. Oh, well. I'll just do some splits. So I like that. Let's see. Who would the survivor be, though? Like, now that Shangela answer was too fucking good. I'm going to say Naomi Smalls, who I'm also seeing in chat, because Naomi's got legs. Like Naomi Smalls would have sprint burst, too. So there you go. All right. Enough. I promise new stuff. All right, let's get to the Discord, where you guys have been posting some things throughout the week, including Tiger Claw wanted to point out that there is some 80s action heroes that are coming to Call of Duty, including Rambo and John McClane from Dead Hard. So guess what? Dead by Daylight isn't the only one that gets licensed stuff to try to sweeten up their game, but apparently this is happening as well. These are movie skins that tie in with the 1984 Verdansk map in the game. So there's that. Let's see. Some other comments. SSG 100 Matt thought this was right up Dark Sakura's alley. So let's see. It is a Digimon interactive fitness tracker, a vital bracelet digital monster. It's now available for pre-order, and it is $65 or $75. I don't know what the difference is. But it looks like it's a little bracelet, like a Fitbit, but it actually has a Digimon that's like on it, like almost like a Tamagotchi or something. So... did I say Dead Hard? Like I was still thinking Dead by Daylight. I meant Die Hard. I meant Die Hard. Sorry.
I'm like, what?
The chat is going like, you said Dead Hard. Dead Hard is an ability in Dead by Daylight. Sorry. All right. Let's see. Oh, Tiger Claw had also pointed out that the voice actress and motion capture for the infamous Lady Dimitrescu in Resident Evil 8 has unveiled who she is. It is Maggie Robertson, who you can find on Twitter at Maggie the Bard, who said in a tweet, "So we finally meet Thrilled to finally announce I was the voiceover and performance capture artist behind our beloved Lady Dimitrescu in Resident Evil Village. Such an honor to be a part of this video game and bring this, huge character to life.
Hmm.
Well, Herc...
I feel bad for the replies, or it's going to be just a mess.
Her convention rate just doubled. Knowing that she's Lady Dimitrescu, I mean, she can ask for more money and get it. Phoenix 7726 is wondering, because there is a diehard skin in Call of Duty, is Call of Duty now a Christmas game? Always has been, right? Always has been.
Well, they had a Christmas map in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first one, like the old Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. They had a Christmas map, a reskin of a map that they did that was a Christmas one. So technically, it's always been a Christmas game.
Dungeon Buster sharing an interesting article from PC Games and.com about after 9 years, a judge has thrown out a World of Warcraft patent lawsuit. A court granted Activision's request for the Worlds Inc. claim of patent infringement to be declared invalid. So what happened, Worlds was essentially claiming to have invented the idea of 3D multiplayer, in which a server would filter the number of users visible to any particular player without getting specific about how it wanted to accomplish that. Blizzard in court said that this isn't an idea you can own a patent for, and 9 years later, a judge agrees. That's how long some of these things take to settle, just so you know.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Some other comments here. Some of these stories we actually talked about a little bit earlier, and I don't want to read everything. Did we talk about the Stadia thing? I thought for sure I show-rolled that.
What Stadia thing?
That six more Google Stadia staff members left the company. General manager.
For Jamie Redmond's company, yeah.
Yeah, general manager, head of creative services, and more. They've all left to join Haven Studio at Sony. Kind of an interesting little chat. That was shared by Tiger Claw in a quick little tweet there. So there's that. Interesting. So
I've got a last minute story if you want to do that.
Yes, please.
So, one game that's supposed to be out sometime this year, but we don't know when, though, is Psychonauts 2. Well, somehow, the Xbox app is allowing folks to preload the game. So, it's about 27 gigabytes, and it's being preloaded, but we still don't know when it's coming out. I imagine soon, then, if that's the case.
It must be soon. It will be. Hackers will get in there first if they don't watch it.
Yeah.
Any other last-minute stories?
No, that was all I had.
Oh, well, that was all the shout-outs I had from ActDeft is suggesting E3 surprise release, perhaps.
Probably, yeah.
Well, surprise in quotes now. It got leaked like most E3 things do, so there you go. So anyway, I do want to give a shout out one more time for our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, and for all the stories you guys leave in there throughout the week. Keep it coming. So I found a good place to kind of fit that in the show now. So there you go. We'll be sure to read more of those in the future. But with that, I think we're down towards the end of the show. If there's no more last-minute stories, I think it's time to get final thoughts. Before we get to final thoughts, I do want to, of course, thank everybody out there for listening, whether you were listening live here on Sunday night at Twitch, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Or if you were listening to the podcast feed throughout the week, whether it was on Spotify or iTunes or wherever it is that you choose to listen to podcasts, thank you for making Orange Lounge Radio a part of your week. Really appreciate it. Give us a holler on Twitter at OLR. Say hello. Let us know you're out there. Emails, we need more of them. Or we'll continue this Dead by Daylight Drag Race fantasy next week. I almost said... my vanilla mocha fantasy or whatever it was that Valentina thought about or talked about. And now I'm like, Valentina would be a great killer. Don't you think?
Mm.
Hmm. Anyway.
So it's Dead by Drag Race is what it is?
Dead by Drag Race. Drag by Daylight, I think, might actually from Pod Culture. Daylight. Culture and chat is a good one. Anyway. All right. So there you go. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com if you want to send us an email. you guys don't have to give money for the show. We'll continue to do it for free. I just want to appreciate and acknowledge those of you that have subscribed here at VOG Network and donated biddies throughout the night. I will read all of you a little bit later after the credits and give you some personalized thanks. But I will also say the shop as well, if you feel so inclined, vognetwork.com/shop. And then, of course, just thank you. Word of mouth goes a long way. Tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then get your friends to listen. A host here at Twitch probably does more than anything. Even if you don't stream that much yourself, you probably have your friends following you, so a host will go a long, long way. So thank you to all of you that host VOG Network on your own Twitch feeds. Okay, I think we can wrap up. That's it.
Well, Final thoughts. Don't forget, after the show, stay tuned, because out comes my new segment for Twitch.
Sounds good. And for those that are on the podcast feed and are like, oh shit, I missed it, your archives on your personal channel, DarkSakura_OLR?
_OLR.
Okay. Are open. So if somebody wants to watch it after the fact, they can.
Indeed.
Yes. So just right. for the podcasties that don't get to see it live. Yes. So let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. So Loki, I'll start with you. Your final thought tonight.
My final thought is going to be working more on Minecraft. And I don't know if I talked about that. I don't remember if I talked about the labels that got. So I did get my labels finally for Pixel Poops number 2. They were all jacked up. So I don't know what happened, but somewhere in the shipping or something, they shrunk. But they didn't shrink in a uniform. They shrunk, and it looked like someone had taken the label off and put it back on, and they were really shrunk and distorted. And so I have to follow up with them next week, because I haven't heard back from them since like Tuesday, because they were supposed to be resolving the issue. But yeah, they were all jacked up. So yeah, it's unfortunate. They look cool though.
All right. My final thought is a very vague. Big changes are coming in a few months, and to quote. A famous monologue. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. All right. Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I should probably make my tiramisu, and I'm really afraid I'm going to play very badly tonight.
You know what? It's about having fun. You don't have to. The thing about a lot of these folks we've been shouting out on Twitch, yes, they're good, but they weren't good overnight. It took them a long time to get good. So, all right. Keep working on it. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I cannot believe I didn't say this anywhere in the show. I'm very sorry about that. But I hope all of our mothers out there, our gaming mommies, had a very happy Mother's Day. And if you are somebody who you're just a mother figure, a pet mom or something like that, whatever the case may be, a happy Mother's Day to you and all our gaming moms out there at Orange Lounge Radio. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.